much about.
You gotta put it in
perspective. Oh my God! Look at that! Wow, this show. You never know, right? You just never know.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Liberté, égalité, and fraternité.
You'll learn from Corneille and La Rochefoucauld if you visit Madame de Rambouillet's 17th century one of these gatherings. Jan.
What is a salon?
Salon.
What is salon?
Salon.
Diana.
What is a coupe?
Coupe or coupe, yes.
Chuck.
What is Orlean?
Yes, Orlean.
William.
What is noir?
Noir, yes. Betsy.
What is a Bernays sauce?
Bernays, yes.
You are au courant.
Hiver.
Ici, on parle français.
Beaucoup.
Merci.
Voilà.
Rue à sens unique.
This obese Reichsmarshal.
Born Lucila Godoy Alcayaga
in Vicuña, Chile. Old theme, new genre. Name the genre, Ballet Misérable. Les Misérables.
Ari.
Who is Putin?
Correct. I love the accent you use.
And now.
That was weird and confusing.
Our feature presentation.
And was from...
Jeopardy.
What? Not what real Jeopardy. Was it real Jeopardy?
Yeah, that's Alex respecting everyone.
I'm asking where that came from.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's Alex Trebek from Jeopardy.
But it sounded like the entire thing was in French or whatever language that was.
Well, it was a supercut of him pronouncing foreign words.
All right.
Throughout the years.
It wasn't a tennis. I'm asking where it came from because you don't watch Jeopardy for any stretch of time and see all of that. All right,
well,
supercut.
Well, it wasn't all one show.
All right, so. Didn't know. There are a lot of TV shows that are on in different countries, and they do them in their language. That's not
right,
that
but there was. It's a terrible question for somebody who's in radio, who knows what a supercut is, who's heard thousands of clips over the years. There's lots of. There's lots of English in the questions, too. And then he'd get to that one word that was a foreign word, and he would do, as Alex does, completely overpronounce it. Like, instead of saying genre, he would say genre.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
Okay, I get it.
So they're kind of making fun of him pronouncing foreign words.
Got it.
It's weird that was all in one show.
That's I know. What I thought, it's a crazy right? show.
Crazy. Who's watching like, Jeopardy in French?
45 seconds.
And then some German, too. And then some Spanish.
Hey, man. That's all I got to say. Just hey, man. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It is Tuesday, the 31st of March.
You okay?
I'm good. I'm good.
What's it, Allie?
I can't cry.
I'm happy with my question.
No, it was a good start. It was a good start.
Perfectly happy with it.
It was good. Hey, before we get into today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, I got a question for you guys. How does the story end?
How does the story end, my friend? Friend, how does the story end?
I'll tell you what happened, and then you tell me how it ends. Do you want this in English? I'll just give it to you guys in English, just to make it easier for everybody.
Show off.
If you went to a restaurant and broke a tooth on food that was served to you, how would you handle it, by the way? Would you sue or would you go, ooh, that's a tough break, that's my bad?
Yeah, I think that's, if you break a tooth, you go to the dentist and you say, I broke a tooth. You don't sue, do you?
Not really the restaurant's fault.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
in most cases,
something in the food shouldn't have been there that you broke your tooth
like a
on.
Knife.
Right. Yeah, there's a rock or something in there. That's a different thing.
Or a knife, Kevin. Yes, a knife in my steak.
Here's a young man. His name is Everett Chatman. He lives in Tennessee, and he went to a Pizza Hut restaurant in Harriman, Tennessee, recently, and he broke a partial denture on a crouton in a salad at a Pizza Hut.
How does the story end?
So he went to the restaurant, and he said, hey, you should pay because I have to get my denture, repaired. And they're like, no, it was just salad. It was a crouton. It was a salad. Sorry. And
how weak a salad. It wasn't even a good hard food salad.
So he got himself an attorney and he sued. The attorney said we tried to work it out with their insurance company, but they never wanted to talk. So we went ahead and filed. So it was this man and his broken denture versus Pizza Hut. And he sued them for causing personal injuries and damages by negligently serving at the defendant's restaurant excessively hard croutons.
Really?
That was in the suit.
Terminology?
So I ask you, the jury, did he win? And if so...
How does this story...
Sorry. If so... if so, how much was he awarded?
How does the story end?
So how does the story end? Again, in English only, please.
I feel like if he loses that lawsuit, it's not news. So he won the lawsuit. How much did he get? The cost of replacing the tooth or fixing it. Not millions and millions.
What's your amount?
I don't know how much that cost. $750.
All right.
I will say he won the suit, and because of the pain and the suffering plus the tooth, he got $100,000.
$100,000.
Chip.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's more ridiculous. I think he won. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go $500,000.
Wow. No, that's a good guess.
Well, let's see.
Kevin is closest.
Yes.
Thank God.
He did sue. He did win. And he recovered $2,000.
Excellent.
Plus interest and court costs, bringing the total to $2,400.
So do they go and take the croutons and then... do some kind of test on how hard they are?
Excessivity.
A ball peen hammer? Well, how do they do that?
I wish there were more details in the Roane County News. Unfortunately, I have many questions of my own about the the award was from a judge, not a jury. Judge Jeff Wicks was who was presiding, but it doesn't say what their rigorous defense was. It doesn't say if they actually brought in croutons and compared those to what you would likely expect from a crouton in another restaurant or anything like that.
These are bare bones details. I would think they would have to do that.
Yeah, I mean, if the Pizza Hut is going to put on a defense, you think their defense would be these are standard croutons, and anyone who orders a salad knows what a crouton is and knows that they're tough to bite into.
I'm glad that they didn't settle. I'm glad they went to court because they could have settled for a ton of money.
Right.
And then that guy's like, I'm going to do this everywhere.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Well, they asked his attorney if his client was happy with the outcome, and he said yes. So it didn't sound like he was trying to gouge or look at this as an opportunity to make $1 million. It looked like he just wanted to be reimbursed for the cost of his, you know, the cost of the replacing that part of his mouth and, you know, court costs and whatnot. So anyway, that, my friends, is how the story ends.
That's how the story ends.
That's the nicest jingle. That's so beautiful. And loving and friendly. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
Hey.
You're being a dick right now. Stop being a dick.
Stop being a dick.
Seriously, stop being a dick.
Seriously, stop being a dick.
Love it. Mumford and Sons will be by today. Very excited about that. We also have April Foolishness tickets in the party bus section. That's this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have highlights of the Justin Bieber roast, which was last night, 2 hours long.
How was that?
I think overall it was pretty good.
Yeah, we heard great things about it going in.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Bean makes us guess, another rousing game that we're going to play. And from iZombie, Rose McIver and David Anders. Coming in studio. Very excited about that. I love that show so much. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the world famous K Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
I'm surprised.
highlights from the Justin Bieber roast on Comedy Central last night. Coming up just after the top of the hour. Ralph is here now. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
New release Tuesday.
My new jingle. You like it?
I do.
How much? We can have Omar whip that up for you if you want one for reals.
No, that nothing gets better than that.
Okay, all
right. Let's face it.
New release Tuesday.
When does that change? And Bean goes into
this
period of mourning.
July 10th.
He's got a circle on the calendar. He's got a self-help group he's putting together. Some therapists are standing by.
They've been releasing new music on the day Tuesday.
New release Tuesday!
For how long?
Well, since the 80s. In the 80s, they switched it from Monday to Tuesday. It had been Monday for, you know, forever before
take
that.
Take it easy. 80s, that's enough.
I'm just saying now it's a real adjustment going to Fridays.
Not adjustment at all. Not even a little bit.
It's a terrible adjustment.
Not even a whit.
Here's what you do.
Not a metric whit.
You don't go to buy new music on Tuesday. You go on Friday.
Boom. Problem solved.
Dude, I'm on the island on Friday. Can't do it.
Well, don't be on the island on Friday. You have two homes. You can live wherever you want.
This is what I'm saying. This is why I'm going to have to seriously sit down with my calendar and come up with something that works.
Wow, I hope you can do it.
I do too.
Very, really? Very difficult.
How can I not be in my one house on Friday? I give me a calendar and a protractor and a compass, and I need some scratch paper so I can show my work.
I have a schedule.
I am a mythical douchebag.
I have a schedule. You know that. I like things to be a certain way, Ralph. I like consistency.
Well, change it.
But they're not doing this just once. It is going to be consistently on Friday.
I know.
I mean, it's going to be then. That's going
right.
to be.
This is too stressful to talk about. Can we just move on and talk about what's
happening? Or here's an idea. Just don't get the new music on Friday. Just wait till Tuesday and then go into the store and buy the new music on Tuesday. They've changed your life. You don't change yours at all.
When it's days late? No. No.
All right.
Kevin, you wait till Thursday sometimes to watch The Walking Dead just because? Or do you watch it on Sundays because that's the day that it's on and you're excited
about
it?
Well, here's the thing. I like to watch it on Sundays, and most of the time I do. But you know what? If I don't, then I watch it another day, and it's perfectly fine.
What? How do you do that? How do you... What? It's flexibility?
It's perfectly fine.
You're a madman!
I mean, sometimes it gets spoiled along the way, especially in this business. Ow! But that's okay, too.
What's wrong with you? You're talking insanity now!
It's just not that difficult.
I mean, some days you don't do the same thing as you do every week?
You got issues, man. You got issues.
You don't even know the half of it. He's showing his junk through his glass window at the people walking by. You don't
I
know,
need
man.
To hear that story. That...
That wasn't me. That was the guy in the news, by the way. I was just defending his right as an American to be naked in his own house. That's all.
New release Tuesday, as I mentioned, is today. Here's what's available. New CDs. Darius Rucker. Finally, a new Rucker CD.
Yeah.
Southern Style, it's called. Boy, for a black guy, he sure loves the South.
He is a big, big country music star.
I know.
Multiple number one records. So yes. It's a big deal for a lot of people.
Death Cab for Cutie. If I could pronounce the name of their CD, I would tell you.
Yeah, that's a weird word, isn't it?
It's Kintsugi, I believe. Kintsugi.
What language?
I think it's Japanese, and I don't remember what it means. I read it at one point, but I don't remember.
Kintsugi. I believe it's Kintsugi.
Okay. That's a fancy word.
All right.
3 Days Grace, Human, Ringo Starr, Postcards from Paradise.
Yes.
New Ringo CD.
Oh, Ringo's so good.
Prodigy. The Day Is My Enemy. Scott Weiland and the Wildabouts. Scott's new band. Blaster is the name of their CD. Ludacris has a new CD out called Ludiversal. Stop it. Suffian Stevens. Carrie and Lowell, name of the CD. On DVD, here are movies you can check out. The Imitation Game with Benedict Cumberbatch.
So good.
And Keira Knightley. It's a great film. Check it out if you haven't seen it. Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway. Wild with Reese Witherspoon. She sure walks around in this movie.
She sure walks a long ways. A lot of people liked it more than I did.
Wild Card with Jason Statham.
That's right. I've got a new film. I hope you all buy it and sure check it out.
And TV shows on Veep. TV shows on DVD, rather. Veep, the complete third season available now in a box set. And Silicon Valley Season 1, if you want to check that out. Are people still buying box sets of DVDs of TV shows?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think only if you're a super fan. Because you're right, it's mostly available for streaming somewhere, so why do you need to own it?
You can watch it anywhere you want, anytime you want, basically.
If you haven't seen Veep, though, you need to go search for that. That is a great show.
Yeah, if you don't get it on DVD, get it somehow and watch it all, because it's freaking genius. For example, I bought the Batman TV show Blu-ray box set.
Well, you're a collector. Yeah.
But I'm a collector, but also it's remastered in a way you could never see it. In any other format. It's the best possible version of that show, but you don't have that problem anymore with modern shows.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's different. And boom, look at that. I'm out of time. I have so much good stuff to talk about today, but we're not going to have a chance.
Are DVDs going to move to Friday as well? Or
I don't know, man. I need a team of people.
It's going to be mayhem.
I got to call a meeting of the chief of staff.
Oh, hell's going to break loose.
We have to put it up on the big whiteboard, and we need to spitball it and throw it up, shoot it up the flagpole and see who salutes. Got to work out a new plan. Today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Walken. Ow! Can't believe I'm 72 years old today. Al Gore is 67 years old. Angus Young turned 60. Tony Cox, the actor, is 57 years old today. Kate Micucci. of Garfunkel and Oates. She's your pal, isn't she, Mac? Don't you know her?
I know her and Ricky, and they're delightful and lovely, and they should get all the dings.
Kate Micucci. She's 35 years old today. Is she really a belle? Is she the little hairy one?
The elf?
She's not hairy at all. She is adorable.
She's the Hobbit. She's adorable, okay, in like in a funny kind of comedy musical way, but is she bell-worthy?
Middle-earth kind of way.
Yeah, in a Middle-earth kind of way.
He said it.
Gandalf would give her a bell, don't get me wrong.
Hate all of
them. But I'm just saying.
We need a Gandalf bell. That would sound
Thank
like.
You for that bell, Bean.
Apparently, it's going to be the only one you'll hear today.
How dare you?
Fun and Bleachers guitarist Jack Antonoff is 31 years old. Actress Jessica Jaeger turns 30 years old today. And Ewan McGregor. Oh, Ewan McGregor, I love you so. You're so talented and you're dreamy too. He's 44 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Rose MacGyver and David Anders, neither of whom are American, by the way, are both playing American zombies in the new show called iZombie on the CW. They join us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we got your tickets in the party bus section for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. That's still to come. Right now, though, Kevin, big night on the Comedy Central last night.
Justin Bieber roast. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. And I was on at 10 o'clock last night, Comedy Central. Kevin Hart was the host. And I think he pointed out a very accurate statement about Justin Bieber at the beginning.
No secret that Justin wants to be black. Can we all agree on that? Justin loves the black culture. Everybody knows that. My thing is this. Justin, I just want you to come to terms with the fact that you're not gangster. That's Justin's main problem, man. You're not a gangster. Accept that. All right. I mean, come on. Orlando Bloom took a swing at you. That's not gangster, Justin. It's not. He's got a perfume called Girlfriend. That's not gangster, Justin. You threw eggs at a house. Gangsters don't throw eggs. Snoop, when the last time you threw eggs in somebody's goddamn house?
The roast is not just about Justin. It's about everybody else sort of up there. So you pretty much make jokes at everybody's expense. And I was going to say this before I started playing the clips. It's supposed to be offensive. That's what roasts are.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these jokes are very offensive. Some of the terminology they use is offensive, and they do that on purpose because that's what a roast is for. So if you're easily offended, maybe you just want to go away for 5 minutes and then come back. Speaking of offensive words to some people, Natasha Leggero was there, or Leggero. What do we determine?
Leggero.
She was there, and she's talking about the Beliebers.
Justin's fans are called Beliebers because these days it's considered politically incorrect to use the term retards.
She was great, by the way. She went on and on. She was really good.
Very funny.
Martha Stewart.
Huh.
Martha Stewart.
Now, I was surprised to see that she... I didn't get the connection between her and Justin Bieber. I was surprised to see that she was on the dais, but by all accounts, she killed.
She was roasting pretty much everybody there, but when she was talking about Kevin Hart, she was really funny.
We all know Kevin is one of the biggest movie stars in the business right now, and he deserves it. He struggled for years. When he finally got his first big paycheck, he spent $150,000 on a watch. I forget that term for that. It's not African-American rich. It'll come to me. Justin, you know the word.
She was pretty good. She made jokes about herself having sex. I was shocked.
There is already a movement afoot to get her to host Saturday Night Live as a result of her appearance last night. People were so impressed.
Speaking of SNL, Pete Davidson is a new cast member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's so funny on SNL.
He's very funny. He was funny last night, too. Apparently, behind the scenes, I do want to set this up because it's an offensive joke on several levels. His dad... died in 9/11.
Oh, no. Oh.
Yes. But he's a comedian, and he's super inappropriate, and he sort of challenged everybody. Look, it's okay to make a joke about that. So who do you think did it?
All of them.
Jeff Ross. Jeff Ross.
Snoop. Love you, buddy. You look like a retired WNBA player. The only person that's inhaled more smoke than Snoop is Pete Davidson's dad inside the World Trade Center. Thanks, Pete. Even when you went to Anne Frank's house, there were fans waiting for you outside. I wish they were the same people who were waiting for Anne Frank.
Oh, how inappropriate is that?
That's rough.
Snoop Dogg is one of the presenters, so he goes up and he's making fun of Ludacris.
Luda! I love that song of yours where you said, if you a pimp and you know you don't love them hoes, that was tight. But you know who else said that was tight? Me, 15 years before you did it. Stop biting my
Now, there's another Snoop clip that I have to send to Omar because there are so many N-words, maybe 30, in the space of 15 seconds. So he's in there trying to...
And they let that go on Comedy Central?
Yes, they didn't beep any of them.
Huh. Well, you don't hear that word on cable much anymore, except for like the movie channels and stuff.
Hannibal Buress is awesome. And he was making fun of Snoop and his recording career.
Snoop, the only way you get another hit is if you stand behind Suge Knight's car in a parking lot.
Hannibal Buress also said before the roast, you know, everybody else is doing this and, you know, they like Justin Bieber. He said, I don't. I don't like Justin Bieber, and I'm not going to go up there and act like I do.
Is he the only one that kind of went in on Justin, or did they all sort of?
No, well, they all sort of, but in a fun way.
Yeah.
Hannibal Buress, and you'll hear him how long he, you know, hovers on the fact that he does not like his music. He just keeps going and going.
And now the man of the hour, Justin Bieber, you dainty wigger, you. Justin Bieber, they say that you roast the ones you love, but... I don't like you at all, man. I'm just here because this is a real good opportunity for me. I don't like your music, man. I'm not a big fan of it. I listen to some of it. I'm not a fan. I don't like your music. I think it's bad. I think it's bad, man. I don't like it. I hate your music, man. I hate your music more than Bill Cosby hates my comedy.
See, that's where the whole Bill Cosby thing started, because Hannibal Buress was on talking about Bill Cosby.
Sure.
Yes. They introduced Ron Burgundy.
What?
Will Ferrell came out on stage as Ron Burgundy, and he was very upset with the crowd.
You people don't know what the hell you're talking about. As far as I'm concerned, this guy is doing it right. September 1st, 2014, Bieber arrested for a collision with a minivan in his hometown of Stratford, Ontario, Canada. And then beat up the occupant of the minivan. Nice work! October 18th, 2010, Bieber accused of assaulting a 12-year-old at a laser tag arena. Kaboom! March 4th, 2013, 2 hours late to a concert in Dubai because he refused to stop playing a video game. Say what? Hocked a loogie at his neighbor after the guy complained that Bieber was driving 100 miles per hour in his gated community neighborhood. Eat that, bitch! July 10th, 2013, Bieber pees in a restaurant mop bucket. As he runs off, he sprays a photograph of Bill Clinton with a bottle of blue liquid and yells, Bill Clinton. There's not a person in this room who hasn't done that, you hypocritical assholes!
How great is he?
The best.
So he comes out and does that, and then Bieber gets a chance. He gets up and he's gonna make jokes about everybody else.
All right, now this is what I've really been eager to hear your take on, Kevin, because your fear all along is that this was going to be some sort of step toward rehabilitating Justin's image, and you enjoy hating Justin Bieber. You didn't want to feel sorry for him. You certainly didn't want to like him or respect him.
I wanted him to cry. That's what I wanted.
Okay,
this is him making jokes at some of the people.
I love Kevin Hart's career plan. Do everything Martin Lawrence did, only And Martha, thanks for coming. I know that's probably something you don't do much of anymore.
Oh.
And Jeff Ross, thanks for being here, man. Jeff, you look like the emoji you send when you want to tell someone you have food poisoning.
Not bad, right? Not bad. And then I think the reason for the roast is this, his chance to talk in front of everybody and say, you know what? I'm a good guy that's done some bad things.
There was really no preparing me for this life. I was thrown into this at 12 years old. There's been moments I'm really proud of, and a lot of moments I look back and I'm pretty disappointed in myself for. I'm a kind-hearted person who loves people, and through it all, I lost some of my best qualities. For that, I'm sorry. But what I can say is I'm looking forward to being someone that you guys can all look at and be proud of. Someone close to me once said, "It's how you rise from a fall that truly defines you as a man." I'm excited for that challenge. And I want to say thank you so much for taking this journey with me. And I'm excited for you to see what's next. Thank you, God, for your grace and for never giving up on me.
That was the reason for the whole thing, so he could get up and say that. And you know what? Sort of worked.
Oh, no.
Well, sort of worked.
I mean, if he's sincere and this seemed is him taking a first step toward being a, you know, not being an a-hole, then I guess it did work.
It did work. But I have faith. I mean, he's still a douchebag. He'll do stuff in the future that will allow us to hate him. So that's good.
I am not a particularly claustrophobic person. That's not a fear of mine. But I have to tell you, if I were stuck in an elevator and I didn't know how long I was going to be in there, those walls would start seeming awfully close to me. I think I would start to panic after a certain amount of time. Look, you get in on an elevator, especially with a bunch of people, and it's fine. You don't think anything of it if you're going to be on it for 35 seconds. If you're on it for 35 minutes... I think you start to freak out. I think a lot of people start to freak out about being stuck in an elevator.
But I think most of the comedy that you talk about being stuck on an elevator is we're going to die here, so we should have sex or whatever. And it's just not the case. I mean, you get out in 8 or 10 minutes and then everything's good.
Well, it's in the news right now because Martha Stewart was stuck in an elevator in her headquarters, in the Martha Stewart Living headquarters in New York City. She was stuck in an elevator for 13 minutes. It doesn't say how many people, but it does say it was a crowded elevator with a large group for 13 minutes. The elevator was packed. The doors wouldn't open. It went to the second floor and then the ninth floor and then stopped. A building maintenance person finally had to pry the door open.
Again? She ate everyone by the time the doors opened. Just bones.
But she probably prepared them in a delicious way. It's never happened to me, thank goodness, but I bet it's happened to a lot of our listeners where they have been stuck in an elevator. And I am really interested in stories like this, particularly if you're stuck for a long time and particularly if you're stuck long enough that you're starting to wonder if, oh, my God, is it a weekend and the people who are supposed to be manning that button are not there? And am I going to be in here for a day or two? I want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. If you've ever been trapped in an elevator.
Stuck in an elevator.
Stuck. Stuck is even better than trapped.
Yeah.
And that's the voice of Omar Khan on the jingle. Omar's in studio now because this happened to you,
It did. It happened to me a couple of years ago. It was at a hospital. And you know when you walk in a hospital, it's like a maze if you're not familiar with it.
Oh, yeah.
You get lost really easily. Yeah. Right. So it was at Loma Linda Hospital, and we go up these elevators. We're going up to like the third floor, and we get stuck in between the second and the third floor.
Okay.
And, you know, we do the common things where you look for the phone.
Right.
And we open the little door. There's no phone in there.
Yeah.
We're like, what? What the heck's going on? So I pry open. You shouldn't be able to do this.
Who else is in the...
My in-laws. My in-laws and my wife.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Your wife. Okay.
I think somebody was having a baby or something.
Okay.
Okay. Now, let me stop you right there. Way better if it's only people you know in the elevator, right?
Yeah.
Because now you're not living with a stranger.
Yeah. And then, you know, if I had to go poop, I would have no problems pooping in front of them.
Yeah. That's my first thought.
I'm glad it went to there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you pried the doors open.
I was able to pry the doors open, and we were stuck where it was like halfway. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. In between floors.
In between floors. So, and then there was like medical, there was like gurneys and medical equipment there. Nobody there. So we were kind of yelling. Nobody was able to hear us. So we're like, crap. This is about 12 minutes in.
Right.
What do we do? So we're just kind of trying to figure it out. We're calling down to the lobby, and nobody's picking up.
Right.
So we're like, okay, I'm gonna have to go in and try to find a way out. Right. So my fear
like
is,
you do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my fear is that as soon as I start, you know, inching, you know, the elevator's gonna drop and cut me in half.
Yes. Okay? That would be my fear.
If you crawl out and then it starts working.
Yes.
And it catches you halfway.
Right.
That's not good.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody in the elevator, I got my in-laws and my wife kind of like, you know, holding me.
Uh-huh.
And we're all like, 1, 2, 3. And they kind of like chucked me.
They just threw me out.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So then I get inside and there's a bunch of medical equipment and there's two double doors. I go in and it says surgery. So I'm like right next to where surgery is being performed. And these nurses are there like, oh, what are you doing here? You shouldn't be here. And they rushed me out.
But
there was
awesome.
Like surgery going on right in
the
next
room. Did you walk
into
the OR and go, what do you need?
No, I said, do you guys want me to scrub up? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
So what did they do? You pointed back. You're like, that's my family.
No, he didn't get them out. He just left.
Yeah,
they're still there as far as we know.
What ended up happening is that there were service elevators that were supposed to be taped. Like, not not in use.
Not in use.
Oh,
but
supposed
that
to close
was
them
the
down.
First day they were supposed to close them down, but they forgot to put the tape or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh,
gosh.
You
yeah, that's what
died.
Happened. I could have died.
Wow. And by the way, if there's something already going wrong with the elevator, whatever it is that made the doors not open, now I'm afraid that something's going on with whatever the mechanism is that lets the elevator safely go up and down. I mean, my fear is how many times have you seen in movies elevators that get cut or whatever, and they just fall 40 floors to the ground and kills everybody on it?
Right, but how many times have you seen that in real life?
Doesn't happen very often
I'm
in real life.
I'm saying there's a difference between movies, Bean.
No, I know
and
that.
And real life.
But in real life, something's wrong with this elevator, and you don't know how honked up this elevator is. So maybe it's maybe it's that honked up where it's going to fall and you're going to die in an elevator shaft.
All right, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067 if you were
stuck in an elevator.
Stuck. Stuck.
We're taking your calls if you were
stuck in an elevator.
I think it was Alex who was on hold. We apparently lost him during the song. Please call back, sir. His story did involve someone in the elevator having to poop. So we definitely want to hear that story. Right now, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we get started with Philip? He's in Whittier. He's on line 6. And he's got a nightmare scenario for us. Hey, Philip.
Hey, guys. I was, like Omar, also at a hospital, however, as an employee. And it was during our lunch break, and we all decided to get in my car to go out to lunch. And getting in the elevator in the parking structure, it was a tiny one, and it was about 6 of us, and it got stuck as soon as we got in. And so we had the box to call the fire department. They came down, but during the process of waiting, my friend started having a panic attack. We just found out she was claustrophobic.
Oh, no.
That's not good.
And we were waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally they came, opened up the door. The elevator was only stuck like 2 feet off the ground. And she was, you know, ecstatic. She jumped out, and the same thing. They cordoned off the elevator for the rest of the day for no one to take.
Did you mock her for being so scared?
No, because she was crying. She was crying, and we felt bad. And
did you point and laugh?
No, I can't laugh.
Okay,
too good of a friend.
Just asking. Well, I'm glad you guys were okay. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Catherine. She's in New Orleans. Linda. She's on line 3. How about 15 people in that elevator that get stuck? You guys, how about that?
Okay, I'm not a fan of that.
No,
crowded. Catherine.
Good morning. Yeah, it was after a wedding. 14 of us got stuck in the hotel elevator afterward. But the best part was it was an open bar at the wedding, so we were all pretty drunk.
Okay.
But didn't somebody have to pee in however long you were stuck in that elevator?
We were only in there for 20 minutes, so I don't think anyone had to pee. But we had a couple people with some pretty crazy panic attacks. Like some people were like sitting on the ground and covering their head. And
really?
This is what I was afraid of. I think people don't realize they're claustrophobic when it's a 30-second ride. But once it gets to be 20, 30 minutes, an hour, something like that, I think lots of people would be terrified of that.
To be fair, I do that after every wedding.
Yeah, that's true.
Just sit on the ground, rocking back and forth. So, yeah.
All right, glad everybody was okay. Thanks so much for the call. All right, let's up the ante a little bit. Let's go to Rick Mariloma, line 1. Rick was in an elevator for 2 hours, you guys. Now you're starting to get to the point where you're wondering if you're ever going to be rescued. Hi, Rick. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I used to work for UPS, and I get in the elevator, right? And I figured, well, I should take the stairs, but I had a handcart full of stuff. So I get in this elevator. Now, mind you, this elevator is like ancient. You got to pull the rods to close it and the whole bit.
Sweet.
There's no phone in this thing. There's no panic button in this thing. And I'm saying to myself, I'm barely in this darn elevator. We take off, and it just stops in the middle of between floors. I figure I'm going to be okay, right? I start screaming. I start yelling. 2 hours later, they come by, and they say, well, we're almost there. And I got this a panic attack. I guess by the time I got off the elevator, I was so white. They literally said, well, we'll call the paramedics for you. And all I'm thinking is...
And Rick is a black guy. That's the weird part about this story. So white.
I'm Puerto Rican, so I'm pretty dark.
All right.
But, yeah, by the time they got me out of there, I was so shook up. I wanted to eat the walls. I was so mad. And I call my boss. He tells me, you got to deliver the rest of the packages after 2 hours in that elevator.
Hey, work doesn't stop just because you have a panic attack, dude.
Yeah, I guess not. Not for UPS.
Just because you decided to take a break in an elevator, the rest of the world keep turning, man. All right, thanks for the call. Let's go to Carlos. He's got a weird story. He's on line 7. He's in Bellflower. He's up next. We're talking about you if you are stuck in an elevator.
Stark.
Lou, sorry. What's up, Carlos?
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Tell us good. About being stuck in an elevator.
I used to go to a technical school, and it was an open courtyard type of school, three stories. The elevator was a glass elevator, a see-through elevator. And going to class, got stuck between the third and the second floor, right. And it's glass. So everyone around, it was like I was totally on display, like an aquarium or something. Then, this is right before lunch. Lunch gets out. Nobody can use the elevator because it's the only one. But everyone's standing around watching. This went on for about an hour before they actually got the maintenance guy to let me down.
I Dude. Feel like at that point, Bean would have been whipping out his junk and jumping up and down.
Well, I couldn't do anything because everyone, there were people who didn't even go to class. They just stood there watching me the whole time.
That's Kevin's point, though. You got a captive audience, right? Right. You got to use that.
Once they're watching, once they're watching, you use it for your for bad, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, I just figured I would just study because I didn't really want to.
Nerd alert! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of votes already at KevinandBean.com or KROQ.com talking about who will be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015 this Saturday night at the Shrine. 10 great local comedians. Their videos are all up. They're all about 2 minutes each, and you can go and cast your vote who you'd like to see open up the show. Very exciting to see this competition, by the way.
I thought we would get a lot more bad ones, and I know we did get some bad, but the quality is really good.
Yeah, a lot of very funny people out there. So anyway, go to KROQ.com and cast your vote. Who should be the opening act for April Foolishness? Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz News, let me give you some tickets to the very fun event that is happening this Saturday at the Santa Anita Racetrack. It's the KROQ Microbrew Santa Anita Derby Days Party. It's all happening Saturday, featuring a performance from Metalachi, a very fun band. But besides that, of course, you get the ponies, and there's microbrews, and there's food, and there's music.
There's microbrews?
DJ Omar Khan will be on the ones and twos, and Stryker's going to be there, and Lightning, and our own King of Mexico.
Can I just clarify for a second, Ralph? So you're telling me that King of Mexico and Omar are going to be at an event all day drinking?
Yes.
And then they're going to come to foolishness.
Right.
Okay.
Well, they're not performing. It's not like we need them for anything.
All right.
They can just hold each other up in a corner for all I care. It's fine. Winner must be 21 years of age or older. The infield opens up at 11 a.m. Here's what you get with this VIP package. 4 VIP admission tickets. So you and 3 friends get to enjoy entry, backstage access, 4 drink tickets, and $106 in money. Via a voucher that you can use to bet on the pony. So this is a great VIP pack for 4 people. Call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. One lucky winner. Let's say caller number 11, since the infield opens up at 11 a.m. Caller number 11 will get this 4-pack of VIP tickets for the KROQ Microbrew at Santa Anita. We were just talking about the fact that it's new release day. And we mentioned Scott Weiland's new band, The Wildabouts, released their CD today. What horrible coincidence that on the day that their CD is released comes the news that Jeremy Brown, the guitarist for The Wildabouts, has passed away.
Oh.
The group was scheduled to perform a record release show yesterday in Hollywood for its new album, Blaster, which comes out today, but he has passed away. We're all concerned this afternoon when Jeremy didn't show up for a scheduled rehearsal for tonight's album release show, said Weiland. At school night, an hour later, Jeremy's family called to tell us that he had passed away. I am in shock right now. Everyone that knows him is devastated. It is a terrible loss that goes beyond words. So, tragic news for the band. And what should be a happy day for them turns out to be one of the worst days for them. So.
Do we know what happened to him, Ralph?
It does not say. It does not say. So, you know, of course we could all speculate, but...
Let's do.
Why do that?
Oh, okay.
No, I would say don't do that.
Don't do that.
I would say don't.
Got it.
But we know what's going on here,
you
right?
You don't know what's going on at all. At all.
But it's pretty clear.
No, you have no idea what's
happening.
The
writing is absolutely on the wall with this one.
Empire is still enjoying an enormous amount of success. Ratings were high. You know what also did very well for itself, though, is the Walking Dead finale.
Yeah.
Which pulled in 15.8 million viewers on Sunday. Interesting how it all breaks down. Nielsen reports that the show had about 3 million more viewers in the 18 to 49 age group than Empire, but Empire has more viewers total. So, okay. You know, it depends on how you look at it. You can look at the maximum number of eyes a TV show gets versus what the advertisers look at, which is what is their demo that they're shooting for. So if you're looking for the 18 to 49 age group, then Walking Dead did a little bit better. But Empire overall, still the monster hit on television. I wonder if this story is related. Now, I don't mean to be cynical, but I'm pretty sure I remember hearing that NBC, which is now doing these awful live TV musical events, they did The Sound of Music initially with Carrie Underwood, which mm-hmm. was just laughably bad. That had huge numbers.
Then, wow. Awesome.
Then they did Peter Pan
mm-hmm.
with that girl who gets butt munched on that show.
Right. Allison Williams.
Right. Again, awful. Christopher Walken was in it, and he was looked lost, like he had stumbled into the wrong show, and they just threw a wig on him. It was very weird.
He did look like he missed all the rehearsals.
That had like half of the viewership of the Sound of Music one, but still it was a big enough event for them to schedule another one. Now, I distinctly remember hearing them say this, that The Music Man was going to be the next production they did on NBC.
Okay.
I think that was in a pre-Empire world, because they've now announced The Wiz is going to be the new musical show.
The Wiz.
The Wiz. Now, I don't mean to be cynical, but is it possible they had Music Man planned and then they saw the numbers Empire was getting and said, let's do that black musical. It's The Wizard of Oz, but it's the black version of The Wizard of Oz. Is that possible?
I would say it's absolutely possible.
Sure.
Yeah.
So they're going to ease on down the road with The Wiz on December the 3rd. Harvey Fierstein's going to add some new material to the musical. Well, when you want the black perspective, you go to the gayest Jewish guy you can find, I think, and have him add all your material. Somewhere Stevie Wonder's punching a wall.
Now, a lot of our audience, of course, you mentioned The Wiz. It's based on The Wizard of Oz. But it was a popular movie, what, in the 70s, right?
It was a huge Broadway hit, mm-hmm. initially. Then they did a movie version of it in the 70s, which was... had mixed critical reaction.
That was Diana Ross.
Yeah, Diana Ross.
Michael
I think
Jackson.
Was 63 years old at the time when she played Dorothy going to the Land of Oz. Seriously, she was like well into her 40s, and she was trying to pull off Dorothy from the Wizard of Wizard of Oz. And Nipsey Russell, of course, had a starring role because you can't have a musical without Nipsey Russell in it. Yeah. I believe Nipsey.
Why do I know his name?
Nipsey Russell was an old black comedian. Used to do a lot of the old variety shows and stuff back in the day.
Okay,
I believe he was the Tin Man, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right. Right. I think you're right.
Ted Ross. This is off the top of my head. Ted Ross, who I believe you might remember best as the chauffeur driver of Arthur in the movie Arthur with Dudley Moore.
Oh yeah,
Bitterman.
Yeah. Sure.
He played the Cowardly Lion, if I'm not mistaken. And Michael Jackson famously played the Scarecrow.
Wow. You're good, Ralph. You remember all that.
In that production. And, but Stephanie Mills played it on Broadway. She had a huge career from it. It was a bunch of big hits. Home is, When I Think of Home, you know that song? That was the big hit that came out of that. And Ease On Down the Road, of course, was another big one. So they're going to be doing that on NBC, so... For what it's worth. I hope Nipsey's still available. I'd like to see Nipsey reprise his role. I think Michael Jackson's otherwise occupied, but I think Nipsey and Ted Ross are still around.
All right.
I think Diana Ross probably could still use a job or two.
Richard Pryor played the wizard, it says here.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right, he did. That's more whiz information than you could ever possibly
Too much whiz.
It's a lot of whiz.
Nobody beats the whiz.
Fine. I thought it.
That's a joke for our,
didn't say it.
Wow. For our East Coast affiliates.
Yep. Wow.
That's why I didn't say it.
Bean fought it and didn't say it.
Nobody out here knows what that's a reference to.
No relevance to anyone who's listening to this right now.
I guarantee Ralph thought it too.
Yep, I did. But I said, why do that when no one here in Southern California knows that commercial?
But Bean loves the fact that nobody will get it. And he said
and he opted out.
Oh, wow.
Allie, you should be ashamed.
Come on, Mac. You're better than that.
No.
We did put that in the file, right?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Hell yeah. Oh, I don't have time for my email here.
That was filed as she said it.
I don't have time for my email. All right, I'm going to have to wait until the next go-round.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthday is actress Jessica Zohr is 30 years old today. Fun and Bleachers guitarist Jack Antonoff is 31. Kate Miguchi from Garfunkel & Oates, she's 35. Is that Gandalf's bell? Ewan McGregor. He's 44 years old. Actor Tony Cox celebrates his 57th birthday. Angus Young of AC/DC is 60. former vice president of these United States, and some would say president for a short period of time, too. Al Gore celebrates his 67th birthday. And we were just talking about Christopher Walken. He played, of course, Captain Hook in Peter Pan on that unwatchable NBC musical. He is 72 years old today. He's done better work elsewhere. Yeah. Let's not forget that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yeah, 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
Just said that.
And that's Troy Donahue doing Live Young
from
the movie Palm Springs Weekend. And that's where I had my first teenage crush was on Connie Stevens. It was Connie Stevens.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Troy Donahue,
right.
That movie. Bob Conrad.
Sure.
Yeah. It wasn't a movie. It was a TV series.
All kinds of great people. Jerry Van Dyke, Try Harden, and even the MFQ were in it. Palm Springs Weekend.
I don't know what that
everybody
is.
Used to go to Palm Springs.
Try Harden, by the way, not Try Harden.
Easter vacation.
Right.
And of course, Palm Springs was always the place to go to on Easter vacation.
Okay, thank you, Ronnie. We got to move on.
One time
some call it spring break.
To go for Easter vacation.
Spring break!
I remember in the 80s going there and hanging out at Mike Bates' skateboard shop.
Oh, yeah?
On Palm Canyon Drive.
Yeah.
And it was packed with people. It's unbelievable. Palm Springs at one time.
Why is it unbelievable?
Really happening for Easter vacation.
Spring break!
Maybe to get started again. Who knows?
That'd
be great if it happens.
It would be great if it happens. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Ryan.
People stop going to Palm Springs. You're right. No one goes there anymore for spring break, except everybody.
Why did any of that happen?
I don't
because know. Because they give him 3 hours to fill on Sunday nights.
I'm happy that they did. I love that.
Hey, one of our favorite new TV shows is on the CW, and it's not just Kevin we're talking about. We all have liked it. It is called iZombie, and the stars of the show, Rose McIver and David Anders, join us in studio coming up next. First, though, hey, it's time for a new round of Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
All right. They used to play that song at Mike Bakes' skate shop back in Palm Springs when I was there for Easter vacation.
It's called Spring Break, Roddy. Listen, we go to Maxim Magazine for this edition of Bean Makes Us Guess. I thought this was a fascinating list. Whether it's a sitcom or a drama, some of the most compelling television out there focuses on the inner workings of a family, says Maxim. At the head of every family, there's an influential matriarch, a matriarch who happens to be a television star and therefore is incredibly good-looking. Whether they fill the role of cool mom or comedy queen, a nurturing mother or a strict disciplinarian, here are 15 of the hottest TV moms ever to grace our television sets.
This is the history of television?
No, I'm going to clarify to make this easier for you, is that almost all of these shows are fairly recent, I would say, within the last 15 years. There's maybe one from the 80s, so you're not talking about classic TV. We're not going back to 50s, 60s,
so
even
Reed's
70s.
Donna Reed's name won't come up at any time.
Right. There'll be no June Cleaver, nobody like that Kevin will mock. These are actually fairly current shows and moms, because it is Maxim magazine, so they want to have, you know, high-quality color photos to put in their magazines
and
who they select for their list.
Right.
So let's just burn through however much time we have and see how many you guys can get on the list. Kevin, why don't we start with you like we do? Who are the hottest TV moms, according to Maxim magazine?
Are we just burning through time now? Is that what we've reduced ourselves to on the radio show? Really, Bean?
I meant
burn through some time.
This is burn through time.
By just naming people. Now that's what our show has become.
I don't mean it in a negative way.
All
I'm saying however much time we have, let's see if we can get through as many guesses as possible.
Okay.
That's all.
Marge Simpson.
I'm sorry to say no. Marge Simpson, Kevin, is not on the list.
I would say Sofia Vergara.
Well, sure, she's on the list. Now, these are not ranked. It's just a 15 list.
I
but yeah,
should say number one.
She's probably number one, I would agree. All right, somebody keep a track. Ralph has a point like he do. Allie, I believe you're up next, my dear.
Claire Huxtable.
No, not on the list.
Racist.
Monkey?
What if I don't know their name, but...
I'll give you credit for character if you've got a character.
He doesn't know that either, Bean. What if he has to describe what they look like? What if he has to draw you a picture? What if he draws you?
She's about 5'8". No, the super hot mom.
Oh, the hot mom. Oh, the hot one.
On Homeland that used to be married to
The guy in season one. She should absolutely be on this.
Yes.
She should so be on this
she's
list.
Not.
Unfortunately, she's not. No.
This list is dead to me. Well, it's Maxim magazine. Again, I tell you, it's not me. I didn't come up with this list. She would absolutely be on my list of the hottest TV moms of all time.
Yeah. Let me stay with Modern Family and go with Julie Bowen.
Yes, Ralph Garman. You are correct. She is also on the list of the top 15.
Stupid Ralph is so good at all these.
I like hot moms. What can I say?
Hate you.
Adam McKay?
I am going to go with, is it Katie Sagal?
It is Katie Sagal, but she is not on this list. I'm sorry.
What is happening?
She was a hot mom. She was a hot mom on Married with Children.
Come Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. 90s.
Hot
90s.
Mom.
Hot mom.
Monkey Man? And several of these shows are on currently, by the way. As you mentioned Modern Family, but they're, you know, you don't have to go too far back for some of these.
Okay.
Hot moms.
Honest to God, I can't think of one. That's what's
not
happening right
far
now.
Behind you.
Right now, no names are coming to my mind.
So you would like to pass, it
yep.
sounds like.
Pass.
All right, you pass.
Hot moms.
Ralph Gravity's already up to a 2-0 lead.
Hot moms.
That's where it's going to seems like that's where it's going to end up. 2-0.
Jeez, I'm running out of people on Modern Family to name. Hot moms. Well, there must be several hot moms.
There are a lot of attractive women who have played mothers on television.
Yes. Considering there's a list
of
50.
How about from Parenthood, Lauren Graham?
How about Lauren Graham, ladies and gentlemen? I'm going to give you that. They actually have her listed as Gilmore Girls.
Oh, sure.
Certainly
too.
Parenthood would. Yeah. Would Ralph Garman, 3-0, ladies and gentlemen.
Booyah!
This sucks so much.
Hallie McKay, you won't catch up, but you're playing for second place now.
The mom on the George Lopez show was very pretty.
I don't even know
what
you're talking about
here. I hate it.
All right, let's go around one more time.
No.
Roseanne.
Yes!
What?!
Sizest?
Ralph Garman?
How about Monica Potter from Parenthood?
I'm sorry, no. Not this time.
Nope.
Allie, you get the final guess.
How about the other one from Parenthood?
I think we're out of moms.
Anyone from Parenthood?
No, the one from Parenthood.
I got
lovely
one.
Lovely girl.
I got one.
Really hot.
Are you done? Because I've got one.
Done. Yes, we're done.
No. What about Connie Britton from Nashville?
Connie Britton is absolutely on the list. Yes, she is listed as Tammy Taylor from Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights, of course.
Cookie!
Cookie is also on the list now that the game is over. Taraji B. Henson from Empire is also on the list. Just real quick, so we got our guests in here. January Jones as Betty Draper on TV's Mad Men.
One of the hottest.
One of the hottest.
I'm dumb.
Lena Headey, who plays Miss Lannister on the Game of Thrones. Cersei Lannister is on the list here.
Yeah.
Nancy Botwin, Mary Louise Parker from Weeds.
Oh, sure.
Is on the list.
Yeah,
Melinda Clark, who is Julie Cooper on the Mother Effin' OC, ladies and gentlemen. One of the hottest moms of all time.
Yes.
Natasha McElhone, she is Karen on Dave Duchovny's wife on Californication.
Right.
She's on the list.
All right.
Here's one I'm surprised nobody came up with. Lindsay Bluth, Funke, Portia de Rossi from Arrested Development.
Oh, yes, of course.
Super hot.
We're back.
And a couple of others, but there you go. That's Bean Makes Us Guess for today.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
All right, Kevin, we're going to do some cleanup duty here. Remember when Beer Mug was at the Grammy Roundtable a few weeks ago and the actor David Anders sat down with him to talk about iZombie?
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, once Beer Mug interviews you, usually we can never get them on the show. Mr. Anders is here now, so we're going to have to try to make up for the damage that Muggs has already done. Listen to this tape.
Good luck with iZombie. I'm going to tune in. Our buddy Kevin from the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, he's a big fan of CW shows.
Okay.
So I think he might be tuning in.
Well, dude, when we're just this massive juggernaut of a hit, you got to bring me on in the morning.
Absolutely. Absolutely, David.
Now, what we did then, right then, was we mocked Beer Mug because we were like, you can't book guests. What are you doing? You can't tell him that he can come in. And now you're here and we're very happy.
Exactly.
David Anders and Rose MacGyver, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thanks that based on that little plug, you managed to angle me in too, Anders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrangled you.
Oh,
wrangled.
Sure.
I mean, you're kind of the lead, so.
I am?
Kind of.
you're kind of important. We could get by without you, but.
I don't know. You're really honing in on usurping me. I can feel it. It's kind of like
iZombie airs Tuesday nights at 9 on the CW. Is it a juggernaut of a hit yet, you guys? How has the reaction been, the first two episodes that have already aired? I'm hearing great things critically about it, but how have the ratings been?
Yeah, critically, we are, you could say we're critical darlings.
Darlings, okay. Everybody from the New York Times on down is raving about what a great show this is.
Yeah, I don't know if I can speak for Rose, but they've been making me blush with all the kudos they've been throwing at us.
That's
nice. I think the numbers are okay. That's not
all right. This is a great show.
I think the numbers are good. I feel like everybody that I've heard seems happy. I mean, coming from New Zealand, we have like three channels in New Zealand, and I don't think I'd ever even heard of ratings. So that's been a bit of a baptism by fire, like understanding some of the numbers game. But I think everybody seems really happy, and we've all the higher ups have been very complimentary. So
yeah, well, good. And as far as the episodes that we've seen, every episode gets better and better. For those of you at home listening.
And the best one is episode 12 and 13, which are the last two, so you're going to have to watch all of them.
I like that.
I like that you didn't go with three, which is on
tonight. No, I'm doing the long game.
Good, sure. Yeah.
Good.
Now, you guys have both been in show business for a long time, and you've both done lots of different kinds of roles. So you got some sort of a radar. When you get pitched a zombie show, what is your first thought?
You
have to be talked into it? Is that? I mean, are you inclined to say, no, I'm not interested in getting involved in a zombie show? It's too crazy? Or is it something that was just so intriguing to you, you couldn't say no?
Yeah, no, I was pretty hesitant because I felt like the zombie thing was being done exceptionally well in other ways and had been. And then the more I looked into it and, like, into the trajectory of the zombie genre and how much it's changed over the years, and then I read our script, and it is a Zomcom Romdrom.
She just stole it from me. That's mine. I am the person that says it. My hashtag. But I'll let you say it. Zomcom Romdrom.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, it's
and David,
it's
what about
show.
You? What about you thinking about the whole genre, and do you want to get involved?
I think I had the same thoughts as Rose. It's, you know, it's trite, well-worn territory. Walking Dead owns zombies, so how is a show called iZombie going to come around and do something different? And then I read it, and I laughed like every page, and it was dark and it was funny. And I'd never read anything like it, as you know.
Dark and funny to me seems like one of the most difficult things to pull off. And this show totally does it. But it just seems like a lot of people try, and it's either not dark or not funny, one of the two. I mean, it's just difficult.
It's a hard line to ride tonally. I think we're just lucky that Diane Ruggiero Wright and Rob Thomas, who wrote it, have such a strong voice and sense of that tone, and that they knew what they wanted, so it made it a lot easier for us to kind of step in.
Now, Rose McIver, David Anders in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you saw them on the street today, or saw them as we did walking into her studio, you would go, hey, they look like regular human beings. But on iZombie, you guys are actual zombies, and that looks like it must be a tremendous commitment for you guys in terms of makeup and whatnot.
Yeah, it takes a moment to get thrown into the Mikado works. The white face. I take about an hour for my face, but I have to dye my hair once a month, whereas Rose wears a wig. It looks great for the character, but it's become a really poor life choice because it is. You see, I'm wearing a hat right now. Not a coincidence.
Can we see the hair? Just take it off. Just a little bit.
See the hair?
All right. There's nothing wrong with that.
I like your shock of blonde
I've already had the procedure.
hair plugs.
So you're walking around looking like you're in the police or something, and people are like, what happened to you, Anders? And you're like, no, it's for a show.
Yeah, no, and Rose she's said this to me before about, like, after work when we do kind of a bush league job of washing off our makeup, and we just look like, look like zombies, and we're like, hey, we going to floor 10? Me too. Neighbor. and I just got, you know.
I remember we wrapped, and it's about a 45-minute procedure to get it all out again, because it's like they use oils to get this very strong makeup out of your skin, and then it's like the hair is another whole thing to wash the glue out of the hair. And I hadn't done it properly, and I went home and stopped at a supermarket on the way, and I still had all this white sprayed through my hairline, and I honestly didn't think about it, and I looked like just a murderer. I looked terrible.
People are running.
Yeah, people in Vancouver are probably on the wanted list.
I just read some interview where you said that you were walking through a supermarket and you were talking about the brains that you had to eat that day, and it was exhausting because you know.
It's like, oh, did I have eaten a really exhausting brain?
People taking their kids away and running. I do like the fact, though, that in the show, there's only one person that knows you guys are zombies, and everybody else, you're sort of just passing for really white people.
Really white people. Yeah.
I saw some people in Vancouver who looked, honestly, I'm suspicious.
About the same?
Yeah, they were really fair and really, really white hair. Like, it happens. It happens.
Yeah. Talking about iZombie, it airs on the CW Tuesday nights. Hey, that's tonight at 9 o'clock for episode number 3, but you can watch the first two on demand if you haven't caught them yet, from executive producer Rob Thomas, based on a comic book, right, originally?
Yes, based on a comic book originally set in Eugene, Oregon. Go Ducks! We set our little television program in
Ducks
Seattle.
Ducks are out.
Ducks.
Sorry, they're out.
This year.
Yeah, this year.
Our guests are Rose McIver and David Anders. iZombie. We'll return right after this on K-Rock.
Not sure what's happening in here, Bean.
I think it's a dance party.
Don't know what's happening.
I think it's an iZombie dance party going on in here right now.
Rose was miming for a second.
Zombie frog.
These are really soundproof. What are they called? Noiseproof? What's the tech term?
Soundproof is...
soundproof. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Rose McIver and David Anders are the stars of iZombie on the CW. Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock, episode 3 airs tonight. What are... You know, we talked about how there have been a lot of zombie TV shows and movies throughout the years. And yours is different. And every zombie show gets to kind of create its own rules. What are the rules of being a zombie on iZombie? No sleep. We know that, right?
Well, no. Yeah, that's just the shooting of it. on screen, I think the major one is the way to kill a zombie is to destroy their brain. So to bash their brain or shoot them through the brain. That's the only way that that we can be killed.
Yeah.
But also, like on Walking Dead, they'll eat anything. But on your show, you got to go with the brain.
We have a very specific palate, dietary restrictions. We're feeling, thinking zombies, and we need to eat brains to maintain that humanity. But if you don't get the brains, you will become that Walking Dead walker type zombie.
I love it when you finally meet Liv on the show, and you're like, I've been doing it the hard way. You're really smart.
Right. We're commiserating and stuff like that. Yeah.
I know. For a moment, you really pity you.
That was a good sleight of hand. That was a good sleight.
But Liv's the ethical zombie, you know. She's the one who works at a morgue so that the people are already dead.
Right.
So she doesn't have to murder. So it's not an easy road, but she has chosen the one that's socially responsible.
The other thing that is fascinating about the show is that you also have some memories, some flashbacks, some personality changes based on whose brain you ate. I love that.
Yeah, so you acquire all these new skills each episode, and it can be a little terrifying. I never know quite what I'm in for, and I've used up quite a lot of my arsenal in the first season. So
so far you've been a klepto. Mm-hmm. Second time you were a painter, you took on these great characteristics. Tonight, you're going to be...
But not a great painter.
Well, how dare you?
Okay. Now in the living room, they hung that up. I think it's lovely.
I think there's a lot of art in the living room.
I love that in that episode, when I was reading it, I thought like, oh, she's going to make like a masterpiece. And then in the last act, it's just like a
wonderful,
real pedestrian.
I'm sorry, Ellie, and then tonight.
But tonight, you take on a whole different set of characteristics. You're a psycho.
Exactly. I'm a sociopath. And that can happen with these brains. Like Liv realizes quite early in the trajectory of the show that it can be very negative. There can be some really great things and lots of funny things. She speaks Romanian in the first pilot. She gets lots of great stuff, but she also has some situations that can be very, very compromising. And one of them is, tonight she loses her empathy completely.
Liv had a fiancé before she died, and she still seems to pine for him some, but can't be with him. I'm not sure I follow. So what happens if a zombie has sex. Does that person who has sex with a zombie die?
Well, I think we may have sorted that out in episode two.
Yeah.
We didn't tell you straight up, but you saw it.
Well, we need my to
character, be told. My character got down with Jackie the cougar.
Right.
And
very smooth at the bar, by the way.
Next time you see her, she's a zombie.
She's a zombie.
So it's to be assumed.
So Liv doesn't want to do that to her ex-fiance. She doesn't want to turn him into a zombie. So really, she's just being altruistic by staying away from him.
Correct. Yet again, Liv the ethical zombie. She's like trying to do it right. But, you know, it's hard because she obviously still is very much in love with him and doesn't want to move on. So it's a very unspoken and unresolved conflict for her.
I mean, have you seen him?
I'm saying I would take that chance.
Guys, he was on the Fat Jewish
within
the other day.
5 minutes with me.
You know that Instagram account, The Fat Jewish?
What?
The fat Jewish.
Yeah, on Instagram.
Yeah.
The fat Jewish.
He's this guy. He's like a huge hit on Instagram. He posted a picture of Rob Buckley shirtless the other day, being like, I'm going to call you right back. Yeah.
What'd he say?
I'm going to call you right back. There's a meme on it.
All right, let's play a clip from the show. Rose's character, Liv, has just been shot. And the medical examiner, who is your boss and the only one that knows about you guys being zombies, is removing the bullet from you. And you're kind of describing what happens to you when you go all zombie.
I got mad and suddenly I was 99% zombie, like 28 Days Later style with a side of rage bomb. I was a dead alabaster badass.
I'm performing open heart surgery on you without anesthesia. You're beyond badass. There it is. I mean, I'd offer to stitch you up, but there isn't even much blood.
Must take the pressure off when your patient's already dead.
You have to stop calling yourself that. You're not dead, you're undead. Big difference.
Yeah, it's a big difference indeed. And kind of tough on your friends and family around you, that's for sure. They don't understand the new Liv.
I know. I mean, and she is really living in silence and hasn't been able to tell anybody. The medical examiner is the first person who is her confidant and who she's able to at least share the burden with a bit.
I'm sorry, I don't remember the actor's name who plays the cop, though. He's great.
Malcolm Goodwin.
Oh, he's so good.
Wonderful Malcolm Goodwin. Malcatraz. I call him.
At what point is he just going to go, she keeps getting shot and throwing off cars. I should look into this.
He a great reaction.
I mean, it sets up this just great dynamic between the three of us, between Ravi Chakrabarty, my medical examiner, and the detective and I, that one of them knows and one of them doesn't. I mean, in some of the later episodes this season, it's the near misses and the almost discoveries are pretty brilliant.
If he doesn't figure it out, he's one of the worst cops ever.
True.
I mean, really.
Well, he's a rookie.
Yeah. Throw the guy a bone.
Zombie airs tonight at 9 on the CW. You guys are going to be at WonderCon at the Anaheim Convention Center this weekend. True or false?
I believe we are.
Yes. True. Yes. It is going on April 3rd through the 5th. That's this weekend. WonderCon. We've got some passes. If you want to go and you want to meet the kids from iZombie, call right now. 1-800-520-1067. Callers 10 through 13. You win this hour. Have you guys done any of these kind of fan meet and greets yet? What has the reaction been so far to people who meet you after they've seen iZombie?
Well, I've done my fair share through the years from Alias on. I love the fans and I love shaking sweaty palms, so I keep doing them. But as far as people that have seen iZombie, we went to Comic-Con showed up just like the first 10 minutes or something, and people liked it. But
and it was exciting. We were showing it before the show had come out and before we'd actually shot the season. We'd only shot the pilot. And already, based off just the pilot, there was so much momentum and so much excitement, and largely that is due to the comic series and people being such big fans of the book. So, yeah, we're really excited that now people will be familiar with what we've created.
Well, it's one thing to have a great comic book or you know, other medium, but to turn that into a great TV show, which I think this is. And there's only been two episodes, so people can catch up before tonight. But, man, it's a good show.
Thanks, Kev.
It's my favorite new show.
Appreciate you, man.
Oh, Kevin.
You guys are doing awesome work.
Yay.
Thank you so much. I forgive you for the duck crack now.
Touch and go.
I think I might hug you after this.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for coming.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
How about a pair of sold-out tickets in the party bus section to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness this Saturday night at the Shrine? How about that?
No, thanks.
How about if I tell you that it's Tenacious D and Gabriel Iglesias, Ralphie Mae, Jay Moore, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, and Brad Williams?
Now I'm in!
Plus, DJ Mike Realm will be there doing the house music Saturday at the Shrine. VIP reception with Kevin Abean. Limited edition Party Bus Section Show t-shirt. VIP parking. We're looking for you at 1-800-520-1067. But it's not just a call in and win, Kevin. What do we need this hour?
Well, yesterday we just had punchlines. Mm-hmm. This hour, I believe we're looking for jokes, the setup, right? And then Rodney Bingenheimer, who is a genius at 80s music, but also at comedy, will be able to provide you with the punchline.
He was
dead on last time.
He was doing amazing chunks of comedy last past Sunday. I know that much.
So
an Easter vacation set. You should have heard it. It was amazing.
If you have a joke that you think you can stump Rodney with, you can find a joke that he hasn't heard, then you're going to the drawing to win your tickets at 1-800-520-1067. We'll do that right after the top of the hour. And then a little band called Mumford & Sons is going to be joining us in studio. How's that for an 8 o'clock hour, you guys?
Good.
Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Last Showbiz Beat, we were talking about the fact that The Walking Dead pulled in 15.8 million viewers on Sunday in its finale, which was up around 3% from last year's finale, and that they had around 3 million more viewers in the 18 to 49 age demographic, which is coveted by advertisers. But, however, Empire still had more total viewers. So I thought it was interesting. I looked up, this list was released by Nielsen of the oldest and youngest skewing TV shows.
Oldest and youngest skewing. Okay.
All right. So we'll just go through the top 10 of each. Okay? For example, you want to take a shot at what you think the oldest skewing television show on television?
Now, are these primetime shows?
These are all primetime broadcast television programs.
Then I'm going to say 60 Minutes.
60 Minutes is the number one oldest show on television. All the average age of a 60 Minutes viewer, what do you want to guess is? The average age.
54.
That's a great guess. Both of those are great. I think it's in that ballpark as well.
64.2 years of age is who's watching 60 Minutes. They should call it just 60 years. after that, the second oldest skewing show on television. You want to take a stab?
Meet the Press.
Sunday morning.
I'll give you a hint. It's one of Dave's, the King of Mexico's favorite shows.
Big Bang Theory.
Blue Bloods.
My mom watches that.
Kevin, I thought Meet the Press too, but that's why I asked up front if they were all prime time.
These are prime time broadcast TV shows.
Neither did Kevin.
I didn't even know you said that. 63.2 years of age is the average Blue Bloods viewer.
And by the way, if Dave weren't watching, the average age would be 75. He's the one who drags it down to 64.
He's ruining the bell curve. is there a difference between 60 Minutes Presents and 60 Minutes?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm not aware of a 60 Minutes Presents.
60 Minutes Sports, but that's not
That's also on the list here. I'm trying to look at what else we got. NCIS New Orleans, 63 years old is the average viewer.
Okay.
Madam Secretary, 62. Battle Creek, 62. The Good Wife, 62. Crime Time.
Wow. That's not a show.
Crime Time is not a show.
Crime Time.
There's nothing named Crime Time.
Crime Time.
It just doesn't exist.
It's a show called Crime Time.
That does not exist.
There's a show called Crime Time.
Where?
It's on CBS.
Nope.
What country is it in? What country is it in?
CBS owns the oldies.
That show does not exist.
48 Hours on CBS.
Oh, there you go. That makes sense.
It's 10th on the list.
Okay.
So NCIS's, The Mentalist, they're all bouncing around there. But those are the top 10 oldest skewing shows. Now let's flip the script.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see what the youngsters are watching.
I'm going to guess Vampire Diaries.
Let me see. Vampire Diaries is the third youngest show on television, Kevin.
There you go.
Yeah, however, I would think the CW would be all over this list.
You'll be surprised, however, by what young means in television.
What does it mean?
What do you think the median age of a Vampire Diaries viewer is?
30.
30?
35.7.
Really?
That's the median age of the third youngest skewing show on television.
And the reason I say that, my guess, Kevin, was 30 because the people younger than that are not watching anything on television.
Yes, Bean. Yes.
Okay.
That's why CBS rules, because they own the olders.
That's right.
And they won't watch television forever. They'll fall asleep with the television on. You just set it on 2 and break off the knob.
What about Teen Wolf?
TVs don't have knobs anymore, but you know what I'm saying. Teen Wolf, these are broadcast television shows. Kevin Owen, let's try this again. Primetime broadcast television programs.
Once Upon a Time.
No. No.
What about
not in the top ten?
The Flash, the Arrow. Again, yeah. I'm just thinking CW.
They're in there. Flash is the 22nd youngest show on television.
Big okay. Bang Theory.
Let me see where Arrow falls. Arrow's 33rd.
The 100.
Huh. The 100.
Speaking of CW.
I don't see it on the list here. It must be buried in here somewhere, but I'm having a hard time.
How about Empire?
Empire's 24th.
Because of the hip hop. Okay.
24th.
Because of the hip hop.
The hip hop. The hippity hop.
The hip and the hop.
Revenge?
We'll stop saying shows that no one watches.
I love that show.
Is it Crime Time?
It's not Crime Time. The Mindy Project is 10th.
Okay.
Mindy Project on Fox is 10th. Then a rerun of Bob's Burgers is 9th.
Okay.
America's Next Top Model, 8th on the list.
Wow.
Okay.
That's a surprise.
6th is New Girl on Fox. Skews very young.
Okay, yeah.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is 5th. Simpsons is 4th.
Isn't that amazing that The Simpsons is, as long as that's been on, that it still has such a young audience?
Vampire Diaries, as we mentioned, was 3rd.
South Park.
Bob's Burgers. It's broadcast.
God
damn it. Bob's Burgers, 2nd on the list for youngest.
And
the
number one. Football?
Family Guy.
Family Guy is the number one youngest show on television. Yes.
Wow, Kevin.
More young people watch Family Guy than anything else on television. Huh. That means the average age of a Family Guy viewer is 33.2 years.
Wow.
That's the youngest viewer on television is 33-year-old.
That's an interesting list, Ralph.
Family Guy.
This has been Ralph Makes Us Guess.
There you go. How about that? I'm out of time again. Can't do Bugatti. That's what the whole plan is, to keep for you guys to keep me out of Bugatti today, isn't it?
Hey, we gave you whatever time. Use your time however you want.
All right, I'm going to use it
for Crime Time.
I'm going long then.
How about that? Bad steward of the clock.
I'm going long. All
right. Then you're biting into Rodney's time.
John Montgomery writes in to talk. We're all talking about how Bean likes to show his junk off through his window.
No,
people
that's
who go
not
by.
What happened.
We've been talking about that.
Yeah, that's an odd thing.
Johnny writes, listen to Friday's podcast, and though I shouldn't be shocked, I was a little taken aback when Bean supported the man who was working out naked in front of his window, clearly hoping that someone would see his junk. It's amazing how creepy Bean can be. The fact that Bean supports him makes me think he is just like that guy, and then it hit me. Bean likes to flaunt his naked body.
I woke up in a new Bugatti. Bean likes to flaunt his naked body. Bean likes to flaunt his naked body. Bean likes to flaunt his naked body.
I can just picture Bean there in front of the big picture glass window up on the island.
Guys, this had nothing to do with me. Look, I'm practically a never nude, okay? It's not me at
bouncing
all. I'm
his
just
junk off the glass.
Supporting that American's right to be naked in his own house. That's all I was doing.
If I can see you, you can see me. The truck driver's motto.
Then don't
look.
Then
truck
don't
driver's
look.
Motto. That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Walken, 72 years old today. Politician Al Gore is 67. You've been at the internet, you know.
Sure.
Angus Young is 60. Tony Cox is 57 years old today. Ewan McGregor celebrates his 44th birthday. Kate Micucci, she's from Garfunkel Note. She's 35. Jack Antonoff from Fun and the Bleachers, he's 31 years old. And Jessica Shore celebrates her 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Rodney on the Rock Show, 106.7 K-Rock.
It's actually Kevin and Bean Show.
We're at Rodney on the Rock Show at 8:10 a.m. in the morning.
Okay. Let us handle this, Rodney.
Easter vacation time.
We're not on, it's called spring break, and we're not on Easter vacation.
Kevin and Bean are on Easter vacation.
That's
so
still
I'm
not the case.
Doing
we're right
the morning
here.
Show, finally.
Right. Here's the deal.
Beat
Rodney,
the enemy.
All right, I'll take this now. Rodney, no, it's not what it's called at all. Rodney Bingenheimer does a late night show Sundays here on K-Rock, and he's a legend. He's played more bands first than almost anyone
that's
in history of radio. He loves, man, does Rodney love 80s
I
music
love
so
80s.
Much. How do you feel about the 90s, Rodney?
Hate the 90s.
Right. But that's not what this is about. This is not about music. You're here today, Rodney, because you have been telling us that you are a comedy historian.
Oh, I am.
There's no joke that can be told
Bill
that you haven't
Cosby.
Already heard.
Bill Cosby and I used to hang around together at the Playboy Mansion.
That doesn't surprise me. All right. So our listeners are on the phone right now at 1-800-520-1067. This isn't about 80s music, Rodney. They're going to give you the setup for a joke. All you have to do is provide the punchline. If you don't, then they have stumped you, and they go into the drawing to win the tickets for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness.
What do I win?
You don't win anything. You don't win anything.
Hey, why am I playing?
Let's play Stump Rodney.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Rodney the Joke Machine.
It is Rodney Bingenheimer. He likes to tell a lot of jokes. You would not think that this dude is a really funny guy. You tell him any joke and he will tell you what the punchline is. And that's how he got his nickname, Rodney the Joke Machine.
Hey, he's Rodney the Joke Machine. The Joke Machine, he's Rodney.
All right.
Now, Rodney, you understand there's two worlds. There's 80s music.
This, I love 80s music.
This is not that. This
Howard
is,
Jones.
This is comedy, though. This, what we're doing here is comedy.
Right.
Okay.
What do I win?
Jokes. All right. You don't win anything. Let's start with Stefan in Anaheim. Hi.
Hey, what do you do, nephew?
All right.
Stefan, you give us the setup, and Rodney will give you the punchline. He can't be stumped.
What do you call a dog with no hind legs and brass balls?
No hind legs and brass balls. The Thompson twins.
Really?
His balls.
Is it the Thompson twins, Stefan?
No, Sparky.
Sparky.
No legs and brass balls.
Makes sparks with his testicles.
You stumped Rodney. You're
all right.
In
well,
the
I
draw.
Win.
You don't win anything. All right.
Who's up next?
Let's
all
go
right.
to Monique in Ontario.
Monique from Safe Ferris.
Hi, Monique.
I love Safe Ferris.
What is your joke, please?
What do you call a lesbian with long fingernails?
Lesbian with long fingernails. Uh-oh.
These have been screened, right?
Belinda Carlisle.
Is it Belinda Carlisle?
No.
No. Single.
Single.
Oh, single.
See?
Okay. All right. You are.
I'll explain that to you later.
Unfortunately, you are in the drawing.
Belinda
for...
Carlisle used to have long fingernails.
Right.
Right. Let's go to James in Newport
Beach.
I think
she was a lesbian,
though. James.
All right, James.
Hey, good morning, guys.
I love your giant peach.
Funny.
Wow.
Let him bring the comedy,
right? All right.
Go ahead, James. What's your joke? Your setup, please.
All right. What did one breast say to the other breast?
What did one breast say to the other breast? Buster Poindexter.
Does that even make sense to you?
No. Breaster Poindexter.
Breaster, okay. James, what's the answer?
The answer is, if we don't get some support around here pretty soon, people are going to think we're nuts.
What's happening?
All right.
Right.
You are in the drawing.
Those boobies are crazy.
Trying to win your April Foolishness tickets in the party bus section. Who's up next?
All right. Let's go to Anthony in Inglewood. Hi.
Good morning.
All right.
What's your joke?
In the movie The Lion King, why does Simba's dad get killed in the stampede?
Spandau Ballet.
That doesn't make any sense, Rodney.
He was dancing the Spandau Ballet.
Spandau Ballet doesn't have anything to do with The Lion King.
It's also not a ballet. Anthony, is it Spandau Ballet?
Sorry. It's because he didn't Mufasa.
Mufasa.
Wow.
I cannot right
What's
now?
Happening
I don't
now?
Want any of these people to win.
All right. I think we have time for maybe one more.
All right. Let's go to Mike in Hermosa Beach. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, Ellie.
Hello, Mike.
Stump Rodney.
Good luck.
All right, Rodney. What is Bruce Lee's favorite drink?
Bruce Lee's favorite drink.
Now think about this, Rodney.
All right. I'm going to think about this.
You haven't gotten any right so far.
All right. I'm going to work hard and think about this one.
All right. Bruce Lee's favorite drink.
Favorite drink.
Is?
The Bangles. All right.
Is that a drink?
The Kool-Aid.
Mike, is it either the Bengals or Kool-Aid?
Not the Bengals or Kool-Aid.
What
Bruce
is it?
Lee's favorite drink is water.
It was water, but delivered.
Water.
Oh.
Delivered because he.
But he
kung
said
fu.
It like Bruce Lee said
yes.
it when he fought people.
All right. Stefan, Monique, James, Anthony, and hopefully not Mike are all in the drawing to win a pair of sold-out tickets in the party bus section to Kevin Bean's April Foolishness. Only one can win. Miss Allie McKay, who is our winner today?
Shuffling the names. The name I have picked is Anthony.
Yay! Anthony.
Yay!
Okay.
All right.
Congratulations. Thanks for playing the game.
He's Rodney, the joke machine, the joke.
those guys should put out some new music.
Turn
right?
that off.
God's sake.
I think, May 4th, I think, guys. May 4th is when the new Mumford & Sons album comes out. It is called Wilder Mind. Hey, speaking of Mumford & Sons, ladies and gentlemen, Marcus and Ben from the band joining us in studio right now. On the Cabin of Beach. How are you guys?
All right. Good morning.
Morning to you. So you were telling us in the moment that we had before you sat down, we got on the radio here, that you'd never been at the Roxy before until you played there last night.
Yeah, last night was the first time.
That's a little bit of a legendary Los Angeles real estate right there,
I know. It was very exciting. We had to make an album to find an excuse to go there. But it was worth it. It's a wicked room. And,
now, I'm always surprised when a band like you does that, where the word comes out, hey, you know, surprise show, Mumford & Sons, who could play any arena anywhere in the world that they wanted, are going to work just as hard for virtually no money at an audience of 300. Like, why? What's the draw for y'all?
We're losing a lot of money.
Like, what do you get out of a show like last night and tonight?
It was a good opportunity to practice in front of people. It puts the pressure on a bit. You know, we can kind of play behind closed doors as much as we like, but until you go out and you can actually not make a mistake, because otherwise you're kind of ruining the song, it changes the game a little bit.
What's the difference between playing, like, you know, the stage at Coachella with all that room and all those people?
Well, the difference is tiny. I mean, there's obviously like thousands of differences, but the difference for us at the moment is that we've never released music that we haven't played live before. So all the songs on the first two albums, we'd like practiced and gigged in, you know, they were road ready and stuff.
Right.
And then we went into the studio and recorded them as we did them live.
Oh,
whereas these songs, no one's ever heard them. So, and we've never played them live. So before we go out and do a big summer run, we wanted to just gig these songs in. And it's quite a challenge for the audiences, even though it's only a couple hundred people, because they've never heard any of these songs other than the one you just played.
Right.
So, it's hard work. And we get like quite interesting reactions even from our friends and people we work with. Like last night our agent came in and he was like, "How are you feeling?" I was like, "Yeah, all right, yeah. How are you doing?" And he was like, "Scared." that was our whole interaction.
That's not what you want.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You don't want that from him.
People were like, "It's going to be so great when you know how to play the songs." You know,
now, can you see everyone in the room? Can you see in the back?
Yeah, you can see everyone.
Do you see everyone?
The nice thing is we ask people to like leave their phones behind so that these songs don't live on YouTube before they live on.
Right.
Because
that's a real concern for people anytime they play new music before it's been officially released.
Exactly. But the bonus for us is that you can actually, people are looking up.
Yeah.
You know, you can play a room like that to a couple of hundred people and you're just looking at the sort of crown of people's heads as they stare down at a light.
But when somebody has a cell phone and they're recording your music, that is the best way to get it out, right? Because it sounds,
sounds good.
Really
it's never
good.
Shaky.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah. Back tonight, by the way, at the Roxy. Tickets are going on sale at 9 o'clock this morning through Ticketfly. I didn't see yesterday. Was there a healthy aftermarket, Kevin? Were people scalping them and stuff, or did they?
I didn't see that.
Because I would imagine for hardcore Mumford & Sons fans, it must drive them crazy to know you're.
I know
at the
that's
Roxy.
The only bad thing. Like, you know, you do piss quite a lot of people off by doing this.
Yeah, well, that's what you want to do as an entertainer.
Better. Yeah, that's what you want to do. But, you know, I think, you know, we're obviously going to come back and play bigger shows. So this is just sort of, it's more for us, it's quite a selfish endeavor.
This like, is really just practice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like open rehearsals. You know? And we've noticed that the crowds that come, or the people that find themselves there, however they get there, because of the internet, I think, they're sort of like, the really sort of maternal fans. Like, even though, like our tour manager walked past these like two 16-year-old girls at these shows we did in London, who were like walking, like they were, I don't know, they were like toddlers when the first album came out. And they were walking along being like, "I just saw Ted, he looks really tired, I'm really worried about him." So it's quite a nice, like supportive, quite a warm
They want
crowd.
You to do well because they already like your previous
Yeah,
thing.
We're playing to the home team. The home
now,
crowd, you
know. Mumford & Sons seems to me like a group that hit the ground running and has really taken very little time off. I mean, it seems like album tour, album tour, album tour. Am I wrong about that, or have you had a chance to kind of enjoy it and live a little bit as well along the way?
Yeah, well, we actually took a few months out. At the end of the last touring cycle, we took what we thought was going to be longer, but it ends up being a few months, and then we got on the phone with each other and said, let's start playing some music again.
Why? Did you just get restless?
I got withdrawal symptoms.
You do?
Yeah, well, we spent so much time together that suddenly, like, you're bereft of each other's company. And even though you don't really like it that much, you're like, this feels very strange.
And months can feel like years.
And what do each of you do with your time off?
Well, Ben's got this amazing record label called Communion that he's been smashing out in New York. And Winston's been growing his hair, which takes a lot of effort.
Growing hair, okay.
It's tough work, important. Yeah.
Ted's been suddenly like the least businessman of all of us.
Right.
Suddenly is managing like three artists or something.
And you're in the UFC because you got hurt your foot.
Yeah, that's right. That's, I'm wrecking.
You're fighting people. So that's good.
And I've produced a couple of things for other people. So it's, you know, we've all been kind of busy and kept ourselves.
Are you able to sort of go Mumford and Sons? I'm not going to think about now and consider and whatever. Are you able to just kind of block that out, or do you always?
It's
constantly...
quite all encompassing.
Yeah,
I'd say it's always sort of in the back of your mind, and also you've always got to prioritize it, right? So we can't just go moonlight for other people and then sort of treat Mumford and Sons as a secondary career, especially because we want to do it well and we want to do it for a long time. So. Yeah, it's a
are you guys? This is the voice of Marcus Mumford and Ben Lovett. We're talking about the band Mumford and Sons, new record coming out on May 4th that we'll be talking about as well. Nobody gets into a band like Mumford and Sons and expects to rule the world. When you started playing the kind of music you chose to play, you couldn't have foreseen Album of the Year Grammys and Saturday Night Live and all the other stuff that has kind of come your way.
All in the plan, baby.
I doubt it. Is it still? Do you guys still kind of pinch yourself that your band is as popular as it is?
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Actually, taking a bit of time away from it all has been very healthy. You forget that that stuff exists because it doesn't that's not really the lasting. Those aren't the lasting victories like those like awards or surreal moments that we've had aren't the things that you take away. You take away kind of the output and maybe the physical and the personal change around your life and that stuff's actually all been quite positive. So yeah, it's not really about that stuff that we chase. We don't feel like we've made victories and we've hit some sort of precipice of success. And mm-hmm. Definitely don't feel like we rule the world by any means.
Are you exhausted from touring now? Because you've played a couple of shows.
Yeah, but we're back on the road.
It's been such a long week and a half for you guys.
Yeah, we're burned out, man. We need a break.
All right, let's take a break. Mumford & Sons, again, at the Roxy tonight, ticketfly.com if you want to buy tickets, starting at 9 o'clock this morning, so about 29 minutes from right now. More with the guys right after this on K-Rock. Marcus Mumford, Ben Lovett, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the Grammy-winning artists known as Mumford & Sons. Between all of you guys, everybody's a multi-instrumentalist in your band. How many instruments does Mumford & Sons actually play?
Well, I mean, I think there's two questions there. How many do we know how to play, and how many do we blag?
We blag?
Yeah, we blag quite a lot. I could play three chords on quite a lot of instruments.
I see, okay.
But I can't play four on pretty much any of them.
Not a lot of bands, though, have, you know, of course we think banjo, but accordions and dobros and, you know, the acoustic and electric versions of all these instruments. I mean,
you can tune them so they're all basically the same, and then they just look different and
nice.
Sound a bit different.
A lot of attention about the lack of banjos.
There's a lot on that.
That seems to be the lead about this entire thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think people like to hang sort of all on something, and that became the most important thing that people wants to talk about. It's like to us, you know, it was an instrument that we were using as a tool to make songs, and we're continuing to make songs just with different tools.
Did you make a conscious effort, a decision to say we're not going to use this or this or this, we're going to use a real drum?
Not really. I think actually it was more of a conscious decision to say there aren't any rules, so we don't have to use this or this or this. And out of that, naturally, we just kind of dropped the acoustic instruments a bit for now. You know, we're still going to play those songs live, and we'll probably come back to that instrumentation in some way. But, you know, we felt like for us, the four of us, we pretty thoroughly explored what we wanted to do at the time with those instruments. Like, there's no double bass on this new record, for example. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I actually, like, I'm a drummer first and foremost, and Ben's a piano player. Winnie grew up playing, like, heavy metal guitar, and Ted's the best guitarist out of all of us. So this is a bit more close. We're a bit closer to our sort of natural instrumentation. So in a way, like, this is where we came from, you know, like, playing heavy drums and guitars and stuff. So we picked up those acoustic instruments for a while, and and had a good time now, with them.
We just played Believe. Is the rest of the album, is that representative of
it's not really. Not really. I mean, I don't think you could put out any one song from an album and feel like it's representative, really.
The rest is synth pop.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm in.
That would be awesome. But no, so it's not really. I think there's definitely like more spacious, quieter moments, and then there's more rocking moments.
Are you the kind of band that writes 60 songs and then narrows it down to 12, or do you write 12?
We didn't finish 60. We definitely wrote a lot of ideas because on this record, we had this kind of overarching, I wouldn't say rule, but like impetus to each chase each other's ideas. So someone would come to something, come to the studio with a melody or a lyric, or you know, just something, a beginning, and then we would follow that for the day and record it as we went. And so yeah, there's like a file somewhere with a ton of really bad song ideas that
one of you has to bring in bad ideas. Who is it? Who brings in, like, you go, you know what? There's no bad ideas except for this one.
No, it's not.
That's really against the spirit of what I was just thinking.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah, I understand that. But
let's name him and shame him anyway. It's Winston.
All right,
it's definitely Winston.
Yeah, you always pick a guy who's not here to hear you.
But he also comes in with the breakthrough idea that makes you change the way you see the album. So he wrote the first song that we demoed at the end of, like, August in 2013, mm-hmm.
Was it?
It was, yeah. And he wrote that song, and that was like the gateway drug to the rest of the album. And actually, it didn't make it on the album because we wrote a bunch of other songs.
Because it was a bad idea.
Yeah, right. But at the time, it was like very garage rock and exciting, and got us to the place where we were like, okay, that's a good start. Let's start writing these other songs. And then we wrote the other songs and looked back, and that song felt like a really old song. It didn't feel as current to us to put on the record. So we still got it up our sleeves.
Do you have the mindset?
Or
mind-
maybe we'll sell it to Miley Cyrus.
She's listening. Do you have the mindset of this needs to fit into the Mumford & Sons category, or do you care
about
that?
No, it's more like this needs to fit onto the record. So we make a record, you know, try and make it start to finish and for it to be cohesive or coherent and make sense as a record, which is why picking a single from it is quite a hard thing to do because
why Believe? And I mean, I'm sure that was the toughest decision, is which song's coming first.
It's not really our like main priority what leads out, because we feel like we made an album and there are, you know, people who say, you know, this would be a good song to go and play to people, but our intention is to go and play all the songs for people to hear all the songs. We'll be, you know, there'll be a couple of songs hopefully that we'll be showing people as like a way to get to know the new record, but it's not like Believe isn't a statement that says like this is the album to us. It was just like an invite to listen to more.
And anything we'd put out was going to be a bit jarring, do you know what I mean, because none of them have acoustic instruments on them, so
right,
yeah.
Sure. Wilder Mind is the record. It's coming out everywhere on May 4th. Of course, you've been hearing Believe a lot here on K-Rock. Let's talk about the Gentlemen of the Road stopovers. Now, This is an unusual touring idea where you only go to places where the majority of people there have to drive tremendous distances to see you.
Well, unless you live in Walla Walla, Washington.
Right. If you're one of the 35 people who lives in Walla Walla, Washington, you're a business. But what's really going to happen is people from Seattle, people from Denver, people from Vancouver are going to have to road trip to see you. Tell me how this came together across
it's
this
like
great
It's like a destination. It's like a holiday. We all go on holiday together, basically, for a gig and watch the Foo Fighters play. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? We'd done a few festivals, including a couple in America, one in Australia, one in Scotland. And they were all sort of small festivals. Some of them were traveling festivals, so they played different shows in different towns, you know, weekend after weekend with the same lineup. So you'd get a sort of companionship with the other bands that were playing, and you'd watch the same bands every week. And a lot of those festivals also really embraced the small towns that they were in, and the town was as much a part of the festival as the lineup was. And we love that. And we love going to places that are a bit off the grid and doing things that are a bit different, and so we thought, why don't we just do our own festival? So we started pretty small and it was pretty rough to start with, and now we've got to the point where the Foo Fighters and the Alabama Shakes and Flaming Lips and Maccabees and Vaccines and My Morning Jacket are all saying yes to come play with us, which is like, as a music fan, which is basically what we are, if you get to set up your own festival and pick your favorite bands to come play with you, and then they say yes, and then you get to be there for the weekend and watch them and play with them.
You've won.
Yeah,
like, you've won.
Great.
You won.
Like, as a music fan, that's the dream. Like, so we're just thrilled because it's, you know, because we just love watching bands play.
I get the idea that a lot of people that play on these multi-act bills, they come in, they do the thing, they leave, and they don't really sit around and enjoy the music of other people.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, we definitely encourage, like, a slightly different configuration and hang backstage, and there's continuity from the lineups year to year. So people who have done a Gentleman of the Road stopover before come and kind of, like, are more inviting and, like, share kind of war stories and roads, you know, whatever, from what we've been up to as we travel around. And there's a nice sense, I think, for us, when we go to any festival, it's nice just to check in. Sometimes that's the only time you see other bands. And, like, the summers become your marking points. And it's like, you know, what's going on with your kids? What's going on with your, like, that random side project you're doing? And, you know, whatever it might be. And it's nice to... Festivals are great for that. But we try with the Gentleman of the Road stuff to take it up a gear.
Would you ever get into a giant plastic ball and go out across the audience like Wayne from Flaming Lips?
They actually learned that from us.
So. Okay, all right. Because that does seem awfully terrifying to me.
The main reason I respect that band so much is that they, like, blow confetti over the audience in their first song. They're like, we are doing this.
And then
you've got to stay up the whole way.
I wonder what we might make out with Wayne Coyne for that very reason.
To make out with him.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, you got a whole you got a whole summer to work on that.
Wait, what did you say? Did he make out?
Did he say he likes to make out with?
Did I say that out loud?
I think you did.
Can we just explain that there's a machine sitting in front of Ben that is like, it's like a drum machine and it has titles.
It does.
Oh, I don't know
effects.
That we need to talk
it's
about
all
that,
sound
Marcus.
Yeah, I don't think and in the break, we can't. Ben goes, what does this one do? And
I don't think
says,
that story needs to be told
it
on the
says
air, though.
Gay run on it.
I don't think we need to talk about that on the
air. It presses play, and
that
it's
was
the
private,
most offensive
that was private time.
British
private
terms time. For homosexual
maybe
that you can imagine.
Maybe that was the
but not so bad for America.
Yeah, exactly. None of it's offensive to you. I was going, oh, my God.
I just love that that's all Ben's been thinking about since we've been sitting here talking about the tour. Yeah. Well, I hope you get the chance to make out with Wayne from the Flaming Lips. I hope your dream comes true this summer on the tour. That sounds like a lot of fun. Before you go, because we're almost out of time here, the Gentlemen of the Road stopovers are in places like Seaside Heights, New Jersey, Waverly, Iowa, Walla Walla, Washington, and a town called Salida that I'm unfamiliar with in Colorado.
Saliva with a D.
Beyond those appearances, what other Mumford touring plans do you have for 2015?
We have a few. Yeah, we're going to, you know, probably play some shows between those shows. And all of that's going to come. I think our plan is to just go out and do what we know and love. And the reason why we got into this band, which was to go and...
To kiss men.
To go and kiss men.
Certain men.
Yeah. And so we're going to go and do a lot of that. And, you know, it's like the really fun bit. We've been kind of cooped up in the studio for a few months. And it has been fun. It's been like... kind of almost kind of selfish fun because we've been in like playing music with each other but now it's time to go and share that, and that's a whole different experience.
Oh, it's got to be exciting to have a bunch of new songs that you want to play for people.
It is. And to play with the old stuff as well. Like we fully plan to play like all three records and, you know, covers.
It's just,
and
yeah, it's just fun being able to get the stage where live you've got three albums worth to draw on. Like,
sure.
We saw like some of the My Morning Jacket guys last night, and they did this festival in Mexico, kind of a similar vibe to what we're trying to do, but I think way better. And Taylor from Doors was there as well. And he was saying they played for like almost 3.5 hours, two nights back to back. And I was like, well, they've got enough albums to do that. You know, if they want to, they can. And if they have the stamina, they can.
Right. And I went to see Sam Smith, and he played 9 songs. I was like, yeah. This guy really needs another album.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, when we were touring the first album, we couldn't help but play new songs along with it, right? Which is why they were all like listenable to before we released Babel. So we just wanted to fill up the whole time, and people were kind of patient and listened to them and got used to them a bit. But, yeah, having three albums to draw from is the dream. Like, you know, and hopefully it'll just get more and more and more.
Roxy, tonight, tickets go on sale at 9 o'clock through Ticketfly.com. Last question, and I saved this for the end because it may be controversial, and I don't want you guys to get mad, but I have to ask, and that's, are you going to address Zane leaving the band, or are you just going to kind of pretend he was never even in the group? I mean, how are you going to handle that on stage?
I'm going to have to get my tattoos all changed. It is a nightmare. Maybe it'll go Wayne instead of Zane.
Marcus Mumford and Ben Lovett. The band is Mumford and Sons. The album is called Wilder Mind, due everywhere May 4th. Great to see you guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Muse.
It's Tuesday.
Dead Inside.
It's Tuesday. Yeah.
It's not Friday.
Dead Inside.
Right. Hey, the Justin Bieber roast on Comedy Central happened last night.
Yep.
We've got highlights for you coming up right after the top of the hour. Robinson, now time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I'm a good person, eh? And I love Jesus, and I'm going to make you real proud of me, Dad.
Yeah, there was some of that, for
there
sure.
Was, yeah. That little punk.
Yeah.
Speaking of music to go through puberty by, One Direction. I'll tell you, this is Zayn Malik. He must have been really broken up about having to leave the band. I mean, it takes some time, get yourself together emotionally, because it's a big change, missing your fellas and your boys. And now what are you going to do with it? Oh, he's got a new song. Boom. Solo record. Boom.
So
it took 3 minutes for him to get over One Direction.
He's already Timberlaking?
He is Timberlaking his butt off, working with UK producer Naughty Boy.
Naughty Boy. Oh, Naughty Boy.
They put it on SoundCloud. I have a clip if you'd like to hear the first single from him.
I would like to hear it,
yes, Kevin.
One Direction.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Didn't know he had the pipes. Back to you.
Actually, there is a clip from his new solo music. It's a demo that Naughty Boy! uploaded. On Monday night, it's called I Won't Mind. It's an acoustic folk song with lyrics like, we are who we are when no one's watching, and right from the start, I know I got you. It's a big departure from One Direction's heavily produced pop tracks. This is why Zayn had to step out on his own, man, because he's got to make music that he feels. Here's a little solo Zayn Malik music.
I won't mind, even though I know you'll never be.
Hope you saved the money, Zayn. Hope you saved your One Direction money.
You don't see the 1D fans running out and buying that one?
I don't see it.
No way.
I liked them better when you had the banjos. I thought he sounded better. What do I know? Speaking of music, Stone Temple Pilots frontman Scott Weiland has a new band called The Wildabouts. They've got a new CD out that is out today. So you can imagine the band's dismay and Scott's dismay in particular when news was received yesterday that his guitarist, Jeremy Brown, from The Wildabouts, had died. He's being touching tribute. They were supposed to play a record release party Monday night, and they were all waiting at rehearsal. Jeremy didn't show up, and that's when his family called to say that he had passed away. So Scott said in a statement that he is in shock, that everyone that knows Jeremy is devastated. It's a terrible loss that goes beyond words, but not beyond cheesy video game sound effects, he added.
That's what Scott said?
Yeah.
It's very sad. I mean, obviously, we don't know what happened, but it's a terrible, terrible thing to lose a young man like that.
It certainly is. And for those of you who worry about your followers on Twitter or Instagram, yeah, you can let that go. It's not really a thing.
Worry about meaning you have to get more, have to get
more? Yeah, they were worried about how many they have and what I mean. It's let it go. It's not important.
I find that it's more people to correct me.
I don't think I need that.
Let me give you a story that might put things in perspective.
Yes, please.
It's a Canadian model named Coco Roca. You know Coco Roca?
I'm not familiar with her work.
You would probably recognize her for sure. She's lovely.
Okay.
She has a husband named James Conran, and they seem very nice. They welcomed a baby girl over the weekend. Her name is Ione. Ione, which means island.
Okay.
And she is 2 days old, and she has her own Instagram account. And she has 17.2 million followers on her Instagram account.
How?
Does Ione Conran. Huh. 17.2 million followers.
Oh, you.
So don't feel so bad if you don't have as many followers as you'd like.
Did and you say 17.2 million?
You heard me.
And what kind of pictures is the two-day-old putting up on Instagram?
Lots
we know
of
yet?
Puke. Lots of puke. Yeah. And some poo-poo, I believe. A few diaper selfies.
17 million.
Look, I know I'm probably the wrong guy to bring this up because you guys mock my social media presence so much. But what does anybody get out of following, A, this two-day-old, but B, so many of the people that have millions and millions and millions of followers? Like, what do you get out of following, say, a Kardashian, for instance?
Or you get to know when they
or
have
a Jaden Smith.
A new hair thing happen.
First of all, Jaden Smith is genius, and do not put him in this group.
Okay, I apologize.
He questions whether the sun is hot. No, because no one's ever touched it. He's got a point.
That
you know anybody's touched the sun?
He's
they want you to believe it's hot, but they don't know. They've never touched it.
Oh, I didn't know he was going deep into science. I didn't realize that.
He's a deep thinker.
He's like Descartes.
I don't get what you get.
I understand
some of these
I understand the hot chick factor. I get that. You know, if you're a super hot chick and you're modeling and you put a bunch of pictures up, of course people want to see that.
Sure, it's the only way you can see pictures of hot chicks is by following them on Instagram.
Yeah.
All right.
I only need their pictures for 4 or 5 minutes at a time. So I really don't need to follow them on Instagram all the time. Ew. I know where to get them if I need them.
Yeah.
There's a bank. There's a bank I can get them from. There's a bank down there.
Got it.
Over it.
Got it.
On Spank Frankies. Street.
I think it's
Frankies, we get it.
I think it's the corner of Palm and Hand Boulevards.
Penis.
Yeah.
Or there.
And speaking of penises. Mm. Charlotte McKinney was booted off Dancing with the Stars last night.
Oh, that's an outrage.
As if you needed less reasons to watch this show, they're booting Charlotte McKinney off it now.
We love her.
Yes, we do.
How is she doing on the show, Bean?
I haven't watched. I haven't tuned in. But we still love her. She's the Carl's Jr. commercial girl from the Super Bowl.
What?
You know who she is.
Thanks, Bean.
I'm just saying for our audience who doesn't recognize the name.
I was spinning out because I had no idea who she was. We all know.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah, well, we had her in studio. We love her, and we were rooting for her on Dancing with the Stars as much as you can root for a show you don't watch.
Right. Meanwhile, rumor Willis is still on the show, so this goes to show you there's no God. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Shore is 30 years old today. Fun and Bleachers guitarist Jack Antonoff is 31. Comedian Kate Micucci from Garfunkel and Oates. She's 35. Angus Young turned 60 years old today. Al Gore is 67. Christopher Walken turned 72. Oh, it's going to be a party at the Walken house.
I don't think so.
Ewan McGregor is 44 years old today. One of the nicest guys I've ever met in the entertainment business.
And a tremendous Jedi.
And a great Jedi. We did a little thing together on A Million Ways to Die in the West. There's a little scene in that film where we're all at the fair. And Seth says something and they cut over to me, and standing next to me is Ewan McGregor. And he's like, why are you laughing? And Ewan points to me and says, because he was laughing. It's just a quick cameo like that. You wouldn't even know. But it took us all day in the hot New Mexican sun to shoot this thing. And Ewan McGregor just dropped by to say hello.
He was sort of
drafted into the cameo. And they put him in this hot chaps and vests and cowboy gear and everything. He was sweating his butt off. And didn't make a peep, didn't complain, did nothing, just was the most good-natured guy you'd ever want to meet. I was so impressed by him, just doing a favor for nothing for a guy, how he didn't say, hey, seriously, can we move this thing along? Because I'm melting over here.
Basically, he's spending his day off working.
Exactly.
It'd be like if you went somewhere on vacation, they forced you to do a radio show.
And he could not have been more gracious and kind about it. I was always so impressed by him that day. So, happy birthday, Ewan McGregor. You're 44. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is... KROQ, Kevin DeBean Show 9:30. Chip is making bad life decisions.
She certainly is.
We need to talk about this tomorrow.
Yeah, we do need some sort of an intervention with our little friend Chip. Yeah. Hey, this Saturday night, big doings at the Shrine. Allie McKay, you've been to April Foolishness before, just as a person there to enjoy the comedy, right?
A spectator, yeah. Enjoyed myself immensely.
Well, it's going to be great this weekend. Tenacious D, of course. Gabriel Iglesias, our friend Fluffy, who, by the way, is joining us on the Kevin Bean Show this Friday morning. Ralphie May is going to be there. Our friend Jay Moore, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams. House music by DJ Mike Realm, who, by the way, is awesome. Does a great job hosting the party. We're giving away tickets every day this week in the Party Bus section. And we also need your help at krock.com or kevinbean.com. Who should be the opening act for this year's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness?
We do have a top 10. You go to krock.com, you can watch the two-minute video of the top 10, and then you vote, and you tell us who's going to open.
Not only is this great if you're going to the show because it'll determine who gets to open up the show, but this is great just if you love comedy and you're looking for some new people that you can you can be exposed to and go see as they gig locally around town. Let's play. We played some yesterday. We played the very funny Kelsey Cook yesterday. Junior de Guzman we had some audio from on the show yesterday. Jeff Keith, a couple of others. Let's do some more here to kind of give you an idea of what's out there for the picking. These are in contention for the opening act for Kevin and Bean April Fool's Just 2015. How about a little of Kat Radley, please?
So I'm going home next week to visit my mom, which I'm excited about, but she's really strict. Her rule is don't say anything you wouldn't feel comfortable saying in front of your Grammy. So that means I can't say crap, I can't say sucks, I can't say my boyfriend's black. Like, you know that. I like that joke because I get to have a boyfriend in it. That's
so that is Kat, who is very funny. Eddie Pence wants to be the opening act. By the way, I heard from Eddie since this contest began, Kevin. Did you know that he was at one time a guest on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Yeah, I remember. Well,
a number of years ago, we had Eddie on, and he's still out there doing comedy and is still very, very, very funny. If you want to vote for him, then you'll hear the rest of this video.
I saw a sign, someone hung up, said, lost bird, it found, it's called. Your bird flew away. It's gone. Why are you saying the sign says lost helium balloon? It's gone.
Also in the top 10 vying to be opening act is a young man by the name of Dean Wolf. Here's some of Dean.
You know, she always wanted an infant. You know, I want an older kid, like 11, 12. She wants a white kid. I'm thinking Asian. I'm thinking Chinese, you know? And I think that's super important I do, especially for me, because I just got a new computer.
See, he's planning ahead, Kevin. You don't get it. That kid's going to grow up and help him fix... Oh, never mind.
I think I get it.
And one more. How about Mr. Nick Morton, please?
It's weird giving a semen sample because I don't really need to explain why. Everything's weird about it. They give you a specimen cup, and like, you know, you're walking across the reception room, and everyone's like, there goes that guy. Then you're in there, and you're off, and you're thinking, God, everyone out there's thinking that guy's in there. Then you come out, and you're walking back across the reception room, and everyone's like, so that's what that guy looks like after the.
You can see videos from all 10 contestants who will be the opening act for this weekend's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2015. Go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and vote.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:42.
Easter vacation starting right now. It's starting. What? So I hope everybody gets out and parties and go to clubs. And
go to clubs, okay.
You know, you got to get out
Eastern
and around.
Clubs.
Got to get out and around.
What kind of club am I going to? Is there
I don't know, but you do have to get out and around.
The Easter clubs are
Jesus off. Club?
You don't know anything, man.
Bring your own nails? I don't understand. What kind of club?
Hey,
it's Easter. That's what happened.
It's 9:42. Ralph is here, type of the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Quick correction I had to make from the last showbiz beat.
Oh.
I was talking about Coco Roca's baby, Ione.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I mentioned that she had 17.2 million followers on her Instagram.
Right.
Which is what this report says, by the way. If you read this report,
sure,
it's exactly the number that it says. However, the true number is it's over now 20,000 followers on Instagram.
Okay. That's a lot less.
Yeah. It's still a lot for a two-day-old baby, though, in my opinion.
I think
the point was not so much the number, was the fact that a two-day-old baby had a lot of followers
on
Instagram.
Shouldn't have a follower.
That's what I'm saying. No one should follow a two-day-old baby. Not even other two-day-old babies with Instagram. They should be following other people.
That's true.
They shouldn't be interested in each other at 2 days.
Let me ask you guys this, though.
No.
You can understand why a smart parent these days would lock up all the social media names for their kids once they have the names picked out, right? Like, why not lock it up just so somebody else with the same name can't get it down the road?
They're, you don't want another Ione Roca to come along and take that name.
Could just be, or somebody who's just a fan of theirs who just steals the name, usurps the name, and sits on it.
Yes.
Like Bean.
Someone's going to come and sit on the two-day-old baby's name.
Like when Ivy Blue was born, I bet there were a lot of people out there who were champing at the bit to steal that so Jay-Z couldn't have it. I'm just saying that at least makes sense.
Do you champ at the bit?
No, you chomp. You chomp.
No, you champ. That's a common mistake that people make. The correct expression is you champ at the bit.
Well, we're going to have to look that up. But...
Well, you're welcome to.
Okay.
Wow. Things got dicky in here really fast.
Let's also look up chap ass while you're at it, while you're looking things up.
No, I wasn't being dicky. I was answering the question. You asked me, do you champ or do you chop? Okay. And I was saying you champ.
Okay.
I think it's a horse expression or something.
Well, I assume so, because that's where the bit goes. It goes in the horse's mouth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Well, we're at it. It's J.R. de Guzman, too, Bean, not Junior de Guzman, while we're at it.
Oh, I didn't know. I followed Kevin's lead from yesterday.
But it is. Feel free to know it.
Never do that.
Look it up.
JR, okay.
I know it is.
We're all learning a lot of things today.
Yes, we are. We're also learning that I screwed up the birthdays.
What?
Yeah.
What didn't we did, you screw up?
I know.
This is a mess today.
A lot of apologies.
Celebrity birthdays today. This came from Drew Weathers. This email from Drew Weathers came in.
Okay.
He said, I heard your birthday shout-outs today. Notice you forgot to include Gordie Howe.
Oh,
he turns 87 years old today.
Okay.
I feel so bad. He said, I realize your younger listeners may be unaware that before the great one, Wayne Gretzky, Howe was universally regarded as the world's greatest hockey player, and he has an awesome nickname as well. This is a huge failure on your part, Ralph. In fact, you could say, it's messed up to skip Mr. Hockey. I will go in the It's messed up to skip Mr. Hockey. It's messed up to skip Mr. Hockey. It's messed up to skip Mr. Hockey.
Nice.
Sweet, Drew Weathers. Good work, Drew Weathers.
There's another birthday you missed today as well, Ralph.
Okay.
And I want to say happy birthday to Kelly.
Oh.
She's the blonde one. She turned 15 today.
Oh, wow.
That's wow. A lot of questions.
I don't want to answer to any of them.
Well, what questions could there be? She's the blonde one, you guys.
She's
15. I don't.
That was Rodney shouting her out for this past weekend.
So
she's the 15-year-old blonde one.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Happy birthday, Kelly.
I'm buzz.
And Zayn Malik?
Guilty.
He's not charged with anything, nor did he take very long to get his act together and head out on his old solo career after leaving One Direction 4 minutes ago. He's been working in the studio with a producer from the UK named Naughty Boy, who produced a demo, and that was uploaded on Monday night onto the SoundCloud. People are spreading it all over the internet. It's a different sound for Zayn Malik from his One Direction days. Remember those? The good old days when he was with One Direction?
Way back. Like 3 days ago.
On the weekend? Well, here's his first solo song. It's called I Won't Mind. It's sort of an acoustic folk love song. Different sound. Here's Zayn Malik's song. I won't mind. Even though I know you'll never be mine.
Terrible. I never thought I'd say this, but I prefer One Direction.
No,
that's a terrible song.
That's why you're so beautiful. It's much. I'd much rather listen to That's Why You're So Beautiful. Today's celebrity birthdays, well, we mentioned Mr. Hockey, of course, but Christopher Walken, 72 years old today.
And Kelly, don't forget Kelly.
And Kelly, she's the blonde one.
Right.
She turns 15. Al Gore is 67 years old. Angus Young is 60. Tony Cox is 57. Ewan McGregor is 44. Kate McCucci from Garfunkel & Oates. She's 35.
Wow.
Wow. Back off the gong there, Gildoff.
Oh, man.
It's a loud gong. Bob Geldof was over there at the gong, too. Jack Antonoff of the Bleachers and Fun. He is 31, and Jessica Shore celebrates her 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show up his beat. No.
Oh, thank God.
Don't do that to us on Tuesday.
This was a
tough week, man.
Do not.
Don't, have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks so much for listening.
It's not.
What?
It's Tuesday.
But I thought.
Today is Tuesday, March the 31st.
See, now you're messing with us because now it feels like it should be Friday.
No, a lot longer. We have three more days.
I felt like we've already put in 5 days this week.
Bean at krock.com if you want to show how angry you are.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have
you're
to just...
champing at the bit to show him upset you are. That's how you do it.
It's champing.
That it is.
Just so you know, that's what it is.
It's champing.
I love it.
Guys, you're the ones who brought up to me, hey, is it champing or champing? And I said, it's champing, because that's the correct expression. That's all. I wasn't being dicky about it. I was answering your question.
Listen to it, Mac.
We might have to go to the tape on that one.
Positive, you can decide if you were being dicky or not. I think that's for us to decide. We also have Jay, and there's no possible way I'm going to say his last name right. Shonda Shrikar?
Probably close enough.
Kevin Hefferman from Super Troopers 2 and Frozen Lizard. We have April Fool's Christmas Party Bus tickets.
Frozen Lizard.
What did I say?
Broken Lizard. Frozen Lizard. That's what you said.
I didn't say frozen. Huh? Maybe they're frozen too.
Let it go. Let it go.
Don't do that. Please don't do that. That makes things so much harder. And Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage tomorrow morning.